जय शिशुपाल परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्तवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की जय। नितिलीला प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाल परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की अनंतकोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य शील हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौरभक्त वृंदकी श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम गुंड राधा गुंडगिरि गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगा माई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंद और ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल डिवोटीज All glories to assembled devotees, all glories to assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namam Shrubadaya Krishna Prasaya Bhudale, Srimadhi Bhaktivedanda Swamin Idi Namini, Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharini, Nurvishayasya Shunyavadi, Paschati Deshatarini. ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम पार्थाय प्रतिबोधिताम् भगवताम् नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथिताम् पुराण मुनिनाम् मध्ये महाभारत अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्ददामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणि नमोऽस्तु ते व्यासविशालबुद्धे फुल्लारविन्दायुधपत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्णप्रज्वालितोज्ञानमयप्रदीप प्रपन्नपारिजाताय स्तोत्रवे त्रैकवाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीताम्बुदुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुग्धा गोपालनन्दना पार्थो वत्ससुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धम् गीतामृतम् महत् वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचानूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं भीष्मद्रोणदना जयद्रथजला गान्धारनीलोल्पला शल्यग्राहवदी कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुल अश्वत्थामा विकर्णघोरमकर दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सोत्तीर्ण खलु पाण्डवैरणनदी कैवर्तककेशव पाराशर्यवज सरोजममलं गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटं नानाख्यानकेसरं हरिकथा सम्बोधनाबोधितं लोकैः सज्जनषल्पदैरहरः पेबीयमानं मुदा भूयाद्भारतमङ्गजकलिमल प्रध्वंसिनश्रेयसे मूगं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयति गिरिं यल्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुदस्तन्वन्दे दिव्यैस्तवैर् वेदैः साङ्गपदैः क्रम उपनिषदैर्गायन्तीयं समगाः ध्यानावस्थितद्गदेन मनसा पश्यन्तीयं योगिनो यस्यान्तं न विदुसुरासुरगणैः देवाय तस्मै नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्दनामसङ्कीर्तनं गोविन्द गोविन्द मम योनिर्महद्ब्रह्मं तस्मिन् गर्भं दधाम्यहं संभव सर्वभूतानां ततो भवति भारतां सर्वयोनिषु कौन्देय मूर्तय संभवं धिय तासां ब्रह्म महद्योनि अहं बीजप्रदपिता दिस् माया वाट् कृष्ण सेस् मम योनिर्महद्ब्रह्मं तस्मिन् गर्भं दधाम्यहं संभव सर्वभूतानां तदो भवति भारत दिस् माया विच इज त्रिगुणात्मिका दैट मीन सत्वगुणं रजोगुणं तमोगुणं प्रकृति ही योनि ही सर्वभूतानां सर्वकार्येभ्यो महत्वात् भरणाच्च स्वविकाराणां महद्ब्रह्मं इति योनि एव विशिष्यते सो द वोम्ब फॉर ऑल लिविंग एंटिटीज इज दिस माया विच हैज माया हैज दिस थ्री मोड्स Satugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. And because this Prakriti, which is Maya, is higher than everything else in the sense that from her comes, she is the origin, from whom comes all emotions, thoughts, everything. And she controls them completely. You can see that in our Krishna, what Krishna says, mind, intelligence, senses, ego, and gross body, everything is under her control. All of these things are under her control. So due to that, she is called Mahat Brahmam. She has given the title Mahat Brahmam, or also sometimes called Yoni, the womb. So that's what it is. Tasmin Mahati Brahmani Yono Garbham Hiranyagarbhasya Janmano Bijam Sarva Bhuta Janmakaranam Bijam Dadhami Nikshipami Kshetra Kshetrajna Prakriti Dvaya Shaktiman Ishwara Aham Avidya Kama Karmobhadi Surubani Vidhayinam Kshetrajnam Kshetrena Samyojyami Ityartaha. This Mahat Brahmam, which is my Prakriti, or what is called Yoni, there I impregnate of the bijam or the seed into it, and it, because of that, all the living entities, when Krishna impregnates this Mahat Brahmam or Yoni, all living entities, their seed is also thrown into it. The seed of all living entities is present when Krishna enters into Mahat Brahmam. That is how it happens. Kshetram and Kshetrajna, which we discussed in the 13th chapter, through these two potencies, Krishna says, Ishwara, which is me, Ajnanam Kamam Karmam. These three things, avidya, kamam, karmam, with these three things comes into the kshetrajna when it joins kshetram. That is jiva. You see that? Avidya, kamam, karmam, when Krishna enters into prakriti, that means chaitanyam. Everything is chaitanyam here. Nothing is to be looked in the gross level. Everything is chaitanyam. When Chaitanyam enters into the Prakriti, what happens is avidya, kamam, karmam, these things become a part of the Kshetrajna who has entered into Prakriti. Even Kshetrajna, when he enters into Prakriti, avidya, kama, karmam comes in along with that. Yeah? Then, sambhava ulpati sarvabhudanam hiranya garbholpati varena tadasasmat garbhadanan pavdihe bharata. So, hiranya garbham, it is his janmam, all living entities, garbhadhanam, which is the impregnation happens. You have to understand from a spiritual level all these things, not from a mundane level. When we say pregnancy and all that, it's not a mundane pregnancy. This pregnancy, what it means is, when Chaitanyam enters into Prakriti, along with that, the Chaitanyam's reflection in the Prakriti is with avidya, kamam, karmam. Three things there. Deva pidrusha, then, sarva yonishu kaundaya, murtaya sambhavandiya, tasam brahma mahad yoni, aham bija pratapida. Deva pitra manushya pashumrigadi, sarva yonishu kaundaya murtaya, murchida anga avayava murtaya sambhavandiya, tasam murtina brahma mahad, sarva avastram yoni karanam aham isho bijaprada garbhadhanasya kartapita. Devadas, forefathers, pitrudevadas, animals, birds, all of them, all these different kinds of bodies come from that. But the reason behind, cause behind all of that is Mahat Brahmam and me, Krishna says. So that is where that topic coming to a close. We saw yesterday that the sannyasi's case, one who has become free from all these things, for him the world itself is the mother. World is mother. Madaja Parvati Devi Pidar Devo Maheshwara. Parvati Devi is the mother, and In Kashi, she is worshipped as Annapurneshwari Vishalakshi. In Kanchi, she is Kamakshi. And in Sringeri, Shri Sharada. So, wherever you go, it's mother that is worshipped. So, for mundane people, for materialist people, mother is only in one place. Wherever, bodily level, it looks like that. But that mother does not have sarvajnyatvam, all consciousness, or full consciousness she doesn't have. The mother, which is normally we consider as a mother. Whereas this mother, Sri Parvati Devi is talking about, Jagadambiya, wherever you look, it is her presence is there, in all places, right? And she is all-knowing. What else is required? Say sarvajnya, jnana sarubini, and srishti, siddhi, samharam. All the three activities happens in her. Tirodhanam, anugraha shakti. Also power to release us from maya. She has that, anugraha shakti. Able to release us from maya. She has the power. And her nature, by nature she is very loving and protective. And in this way, Prakriti, whatever that is happening in the Prakriti, it is her drama. What we are seeing in this creation, right? Navarasam Mahatandavam. And that is what Krishna is saying here. Sarvayonishu Kaundeya Murtaya Sambhavandiya Tasam Brahma Mahadyonir Aham Bija Pradapida. It means that when in Mula Swarupam, in the very root, Krishna's Chaitanyam, Ishwara's Chaitanyam is there, and Jagadishwari, her Prakriti is, her root is Jagadishwari, she is also there. Therefore, Shariram, body, mind, senses, all these is belong to Prakriti. Everything belongs to Prakriti, right? So, Prakriti is, the first manifestation of Prakriti in us is the mind, is the mind. And in Saundari Lahari, you will see this specifically mentioned. Manastum vyomastum marudasi marudstyaradi rasi tum apastum bhumi tvai parinadayam nahi param tum eva swatmanam parinayamadim vishur opusha chidanandam akaram shiva yuvadi bhavena vibhrushe. So, she is saying there that the mind, from then comes agasham, space. Then comes Vayu, then all the other living in, other elements, Agni, Jalam, Bhumi, in that way. So, all of these things is that Prakriti Swarupam, right? And this this principle, that mind from that Agasham and all the other material elements, this is a part of Srividya Upasana. There is a tradition like that, Srividya Upasana, right? And they have a different method of approaching Sri Vidya Upasana. Sri Chakram and all is a part of that. Through the process of worshipping Sri, the mother, or the Annapurneshwari, or you can say Vishalakshi, Kamakshi, whichever way, Sharada, whichever way you address her, she is kept as the highest authority. And with this process of Sri Vidya Upasana, when you get to know, his sadhana is finished. Because what is the sadhana for? All the sadhana what we have is for the sake of controlling the mind, is it not? Mind is our main problem. So, once you get to know that this mind itself is a force that is coming from Jagadishwari, from Prakriti, and once it comes to know that, then you have become free from the influence of the mind. Your mind will not disturb us, provided we get to realize that, right? So, just like if you build the deities of Rama and Ravana with the gold, both deities with the gold, and whatever differences they may have in their pastimes between Rama and Ravana, both have been created with the same Chaitanyam. Both have come from same Chaitanyam. And therefore, sadhaka, one who is doing the sadhana, And then the sadhana and the goal, all these things will go away at certain stage. And when it comes to prakriti, or when you are performing vyavaharam, vyavaharam is all in the prakriti. All vyavaharam is in the prakriti. And when you are involved in everything at the same time, when you are completely absorbed in everything, you can get absorbed in all the 9 different rasas which is associated with that, and you will realize that all other rasams also are not different from the alpa anandam, the happiness of the soul. I know these are things which is beyond our comprehension, because great jnanis, yogis who have deep realizations, it is coming from them, right? So, Parameshwara and Parashakti, Ishwara and Shakti, then it is that Leela it is. In Bhagavadam it is mentioned, but most of the time we don't look at this seriously. If you look at the Lord Brahma talking about that, in the third canto, in the 9th chapter, Brahmastuti, Brahmastuti, Brahma is saying there, if you look at the 14th verse, Brahma, Shashal Surupam, Mahasaivani Pidamedam, Mohaya Bodhatishanaya Nama Parasmai, Vishod Bhavastidi Leyeshu, Nimitta Leela Rasayate, Nama Idam Chakrameshwarayam, Shashal Surupam, Mahasaivani Pidamedam, Mohaya Bodhatishanaya Nama Parasmai, Vishod Bhavastidi Leyeshu, Nimitta Leela Rasayate, Nama Idam Chakrameshwarayam. Prakriti means rasam, leela rasam, right? Leela rasam is prakriti, and the jnani who realizes that, and his anandam that comes from that is unlimited. Unlimited anandam comes from that, and Krishna has spoken about the root of that. That's what Krishna is saying here. Sarva yoni shu kaundeya. Sarva yoni shu kaundeya. All yoni, sarva yoni shu kaundeya. In all yonis, whatever that comes from that, prakriti is the cause and the bijam is me. Chaitanyam is the bijam, prakriti is the cause, right? Bijam is Krishna's. And you can look at the next verse, he says, Krishna is going to now talk about prakriti in detail. He's going to talk about the prakriti in detail, right? Prakriti, purusham, 2 things, right? Purusha is present in the form of the seed, bijam. And in our case also, if you look within us, purusha is present. How is purusha present? Purusha is present in us in the form of the existence. I am, I am, I am. That awareness, bodham, that is purusha. Right? Everything else in this package is prakriti. Except that bodham, consciousness within us, which is purusha, the rest everything is prakriti in this. So now Krishna is going to segregate prakriti into these 3, trigunam. And in Ayurveda, in the bodily level, it is spoken air, bile and mucus. Similarly, prakriti has these 3 forms, right? Trigunam. And all prakriti, whatever that is in the prakriti, is made out of these 3. Krishna is going to say that. Vedam is also trigunam. You see that? Vedam is also trigunam. Body is trigunam. Creation is trigunam. Everything is trigunam. That is why it's so important. Prakriti is so important, right? So, that is why earlier, you remember Krishna said this, Traigunya Vishayo Vedam, Nistraigunya Bhavarjuna. Even Vedam is Trigunam, Krishna said that. Traigunya Vishayo Vedam, Nistraigunya Bhavarjuna. Arjuna, you have to become free from this 3 gunam. You have to transcend them, he said, right? So everything is Trigunam. Everything is Trigunam. That is the first thing to understand. Everything is Trigunam here. 3 modes of material nature only exist here. त्रैगुण्याल् भिन्नभेदं भवति हि भुवने हीनं मध्यमं उत्तमं. इन् दिस् त्री लेवल् इट् ईस् स्पोकन् बिकास् आफ् त्रिगुणं देर् इस् डिफ्रेन्सस् इन् द वर्ल्ड्. हीनं मध्यमं उत्तमं. Hinam means the lowest, Madhyama means the middle, Uttama means the best. So, these three gunam, its explanations comes now in the next verse, fifth verse. Sattvam rajastama idi guna prakriti sambhavaha nibadhandi mahabaho dehe dehinam avyayam. Fifth verse. Sattvam rajastamaidhi guna prakriti sambhavaha nibadhyandi mahabaho dehe dehinam avyayam. These three things, sattvam, rajogunam, tamogunam, they are coming from prakriti. And with these three gunams, dehi, which is chaitanyam, it is connected to the deham. So it is through three gunams that we are connected to the body. We are connected to the body. Sattvam rajastama idi evam namanam guna idi paribhashya shabdho na rubadiva dravya ashridaha guna na cha guna gunino anudattvam atra vivakshidam. These three gunam, sattvagunam, rajagunam, tamogunam, they are form, the color and the taste. In the similar way, Any object, if you take, for example, a mango, its color, its form, its color, and its taste. There are three things for the mango. In the same way, it is not like that it is spoken. Here, gunam is spoken in a technical way, in the sense that gunam and the guni, one who is dependent on the gunam, it is not separated. It is one and the same. We'll explain that. Tasmat guno iva nitya paritandraha kshetrajnam idi avidyalpakatva kshetrajnam nibadhanandi ivadam aspadikriti atmanam pratilabandi idi nibadhanandi idi uchyate. The gunam always remains helplessly, and it is under the control of kshetrajnam. But due to ignorance in us, it appears as though we are controlled by the gunam. It appears like that. So let's look at that. What Krishna has, Ishvara Krishna has impregnated into prakriti, that chaitanyam has got trapped inside this body. Got trapped inside this body, right? And what happened? Trapping means what? Identification. Chaitanyam is chaitanyam always. But when the body comes, the chaitanyam got identified with the body. Identification has happened, right? What is the reason for that? The sattvam rajastama idi guna prakriti sambhavaha. In prakriti, these three guna, this is a very interesting thing if you really understand these words, yeah? The thing is that in prakriti these three things will keep coming one after the other. In our daily life also, if you observe yourself, don't have to look anywhere else, within yourself, if you observe yourself, sometimes you feel peaceful and you are in a steady state. You're not disturbed inside, in a peaceful state. Some other time, the whole thing goes away. So disturbed with everything what's happening around, and everything, this is the changes happening inside us. How the modes of nature is changing within us. Yeah. So, normally they are associated with the three colors. Sattvagunam is white, Rajogunam is red, and Tamogunam is black. So, these three colors, and all other colors is a mixture of these colors, right? White and black, when they mix them up, all the other colors comes. So white is sattvam, black is tamasa, and red is rajasa. So the natural colors is black and white only. all other things have come later. Right? You can see if a newspaper, if you burn that, everything becomes black. Is it not? White newspaper, if you burn that, it becomes black. And you can also see the letters on the newspaper black, even though it's burned, right? So ultimately everything becomes black, charcoal like in color. So if you touch that, it will become black and white. You will see when you touch that. So the white paper, when you have burned it, it has become black. And then if you squeeze it, become powder and becomes white again. You can practice, try it yourself, right? So black becomes the shubham becomes black, and then black becomes sometimes different colors also. These sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, these three are happening in prakriti, right? Krishna is saying to Arjuna, Nibadhanandi Mahabaho Dehe Dehinam Avyayam. In other words, all your power and strength is all within these three modes. Krishna says to Arjuna, Nibadhanandi Mahabaho, calling him as Mahabaho, then he is telling him, you are Nibadhanandi. You are in bondage. Because you are also under these three modes. Nibadhanandi Mahabaho. For example, he says to Arjuna, Krishna saying that, when Rajogunam comes in you, what happens to you is, you will show all your power and strength in the world. When Rajogunam comes to you. When Tamogunam comes to you, what will happen to you? You will become very lazy and you will fall asleep. And when Sattvagunam comes to you, the very strong people, they will remain in Sattvagunam, in Shanti state. So Krishna explains to Arjuna that these three modes of nature is affecting you as well. You are not out of that. When Rajogunam is in you, you will take your bow and arrow and start fighting and trying to subdue others. When Tamogunam comes to you, you will become lazy and you will fall asleep. When Sattvagunam comes to you, you will be in Sattvagunam in such a way, you will become thoughtful, intelligent. All these things comes into a higher level. In other words, more Shanti inside, you will be able to discriminate things, you will be able to understand things. All these are part of Sattvagunam. So, sometimes in the asuras, in the demons also, Sattvagunam will come in them. Sometimes, right? Similarly, sometimes in the devas, in the demigods, the tamogunam will come in them. You see how powerful they are. Even devas and asuras are affected because of these three modes of nature. Sometimes tamogunam will come in the devas, and tamogunam can come into the devas, and sattvagunam can come into asuras. That can also happen. Yeah? And in the human species, these three gunam will keep coming one after the other. That's the way it is created. Human species, sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam will keep coming one after the other. Mixed up sometimes, but one when we say one after the other means that when sattvagunam predominates, rajogunam, tamogunam is there, but when sattvagunam predominates, you will say he is in sattvagunam. Or when rajogunam dominates, then we say he is in rajogunam. Not that 100% is in Rajogunam. There will be a small element of Sattvagunam and Tamogunam also. But Rajogunam will be dominating. So it is a dominance of a particular modes of nature. Whereas in the case of Devas, normally they are in Sattvagunam. And Asuras, they are in Rajogunam. And Rakshasas, they are in Tamogunam. So this is on the basis of these modes of nature, is all these divisions have happened. Devas, Asuras, Manushyas and all that. Yeah. It is not possible in the Prakriti, there is nobody in Prakriti, no one in the Prakriti without these three gunam, right? And there cannot be anyone pure only with Sattvagunam, that's not possible. If there is Sattvagunam, there is Rajogunam also and there is Tamogunam as well, right? Only thing is the intensity of a particular gunam will be stronger in a person, right? In some place people, the satogunam will dominate them. In some others, rajogunam. And in some others, tamogunam will dominate them. So, Krishna is saying here that these three gunam binds him to the body. The three gunams binds him to the body. How is it bound? Because is it possible to bind the soul? Dehi. Dehi is bound to deham, the body, by these three gunam. How is that possible? So after saying that, he's saying the siddhantam, actually it is not bound, but you feel like as though it's bound. Right? So, and the example is this, that in dream state, nothing is happening, but you are suffering. Is it not? When bad dreams come, nothing is happening, but you are suffering. Right? And, but when it happens, when the dream happens, you experience the misery of the dream. Right? Similarly, these three gunam will create in all of us, all the time, a dream. The three gunams create that, right? And that will give the impression that this person is affected by that. Strictly speaking, three gunams cannot touch Antaryami self. But the way it happens is like in the dream. In the dream, nothing is happening. You are sleeping. But then you are suffering in the sleep because of the bad dreams. In the same way, Krishna is saying here that it will give you an example like that, that the Sakshi Chaitanyam, the Chaitanyam which is Antaryami inside, it may give you the impression that it has happened, something has happened to it. It gives the impression like that, even though nothing is happening, like in the dream state. Krishna is trying to explain this, the three modes of nature, how it controls us all the time. Yeah. So, first of all, he's talking about the nature of the tasmal gunam yuga nitya paratantraha kshetrajnam prati avidyalpakatvad kshetrajnam nibandhanti. Gunam, all the three modes of nature, gives impression that it is under the control of the kshetrajna, but ajnanam, avidya, due to that, it gives the impression that it is controlling the antaryami, controlling the kshetrajna. Prakriti sambhava, bhagavan maya sambhava nibadhanandi, then mahabaho dehe sharire dehinam dehavandam avyayam avyayatvam cha uktam anaditval. Trigunam, three modes of nature, which has come from Maya, from Prakriti, it gives an impression that Antaryami is bound in the body. So in other words, as soon as we get a body, right, it is to be understood that Maya has done her part. Once we get a body, what happens? We identify with the body. Right? So the identification part is done by Maya. Identification part is done by Maya. And that is why freedom from Maya, freedom from Prakriti is important. There's nothing we can do about it. Prakriti is responsible for bodily identification. Everybody asks, why do I identify with the body? What we call as avidya is coming from that Prakriti. Prakriti is responsible. You see, we have the sthula shariram, gross body, sushma shariram. And in the sushma shariram, there is then karana shariram. This karana shariram or causal body is avidya shariram. And it is in karana shariram, this identification is with the body. Not in the sthulam, not in the sushmam, it is in the karana shariram. Karana shariram is avidya shariram, it's called. That is where the identification of the body happens in the karana shariram, right? So both Prakriti and Ishvara is beginningless. lives forever, always existing. But this false pratiti, false perception happens to us. Therefore, Krishna is saying here that Mahabaho Dehe Sharire Dehinam Dehavandam Avyayam Avyayatam. So earlier Krishna mentioned this in the 13th chapter, verse 31. Nanu Dehi Na Lipyade, he said. Tat Katham Iha Nibadrandi Iti Anyadha Uchyade. So earlier he said that Dehi, who is present in the Deham, is never touched each other. They don't, Lipyade mean they don't stick to each other, he said. Then now he is saying here that he is controlled by the Prakriti. How is that possible? That is his Siddhantam here, right? So that is why he is saying here in the next verse how it happens. Tatra sattvam nirmalatval prakashakam anamayam sukha sanghena badhnadi jnana sanghena chanaka. That's the answer for that. Tatra sattvam nirmalatval prakashakam anamayam sukha sanghena badhnadi jnana sanghena chanaka. The sattvagunam is pure. Nirmalam and prakasham anamayam. Sukhasakti, how sattvagunam binds a person? That's the question. Once sattvagunam comes in a person, he wants to be happy. Peacefully happy. He wants to be peaceful, he wants to be happy. And not only that, only in sattvagunam a person will have a desire for knowledge. In Rajogunam, Tamogunam, it won't happen. Desire for spiritual knowledge only will come to a person when that person is in Sattvagunam. And Sattvagunam, what is its nature? Spadiyam aniriva prakashakam anamayam nirubhadravam sattvam da nibadhnadi. It is like crystal glass, so clear. Everything is very clear inside. He does not have doubts disturbing him. He doesn't have any excitement or any kinds of emotions inside. Everything is lot of clarity inside, total clarity inside, and won't feel like giving any trouble to anybody, doesn't create any problem for others. These are all nature in a person in Sattvagunam. Yeah? Nirmalatval spadiyam aniriva prakashakam anamayam nirubhadravam sattvam da nibadhnadi. Then, katham sukhasanghena sukhi aham idi vishayabodhasya sukhasya Vishayini Alpani Samshay Shabadanam Rusha Eva Sukhe Sanjanam Idisa Esha Avidyaha. Now, once you start feeling happiness inside, which Sattvagunam brings in, naturally you are attracted towards the topics related to happiness. Topics related to happiness. And therefore you get bound by happiness. You get bound by happiness as well, right? And that feeling inside, that I am feeling happy inside, due to shanti inside, due to peacefulness inside, and due to that you get bound. And that is mithya and it is avidya, to feel like that. So even in sattvagunam, you get bound. Even in sattvagunam, you get bound, right? Nahi vishaya dharmo vishayino bhavadi, icchadija dhrityandam kshetrasya eva vishayasya dharma idi uktam bhagavada. One who is engaged in sense gratification, who is enjoying senses, right? Krishna has spoken in the 13th chapter, in the 6th verse, that from desire onwards, right up to the execution of that, all dharmam is dharmam of the kshetram, not kshetrajna. Kshetra. Atha, therefore, ajnanam, what is causing to all of us, and which is creating lack of discrimination within us, not able to discriminate things properly. Due to that avidya that is present. So you can see, when you get to this level, it is very fine inside. The person is very fine, things are happening inside. Yeah, that means, that itself is called an avidya. To think that, that avidya that comes inside, vishayam vishayi, Sattvagunam gives the impression that Atma is getting happiness from things which are mundane. From there, that happiness what you get from the mundane world, right? And you get connected with that, feeling a connection with the happiness from the world outside, right? So, that means even though asukhi, he feels he is sukhi, he is feeling happy, right? In this way, through jnana asakti, through knowledge of, through the desire for knowledge, dehi appears to be bound by deham, by the body, right? And that is all coming from satunam. Then what else? Jnanam or the knowledge means that jnanam is a fact related to our subtle body and also the kshetram, and it does not belong to atma. All these feelings that is coming from that satunam is not coming from the atma. It is a part of the subtle body. Atma, by its very nature, has no connection anywhere and no bondage anywhere. And in the same way, when someone is feeling happy like that, it has to be understood that satugunam is dominating him. Yeah. So let's look at it more. Satugunam's nature is nirmalam, pure. It is pure, right? It means that, what it means is, there is not much coverage on the Antaryami. There is not much of a coverage or covering on top, on the Antaryami. Prakashakam. Therefore, it is illuminating. And wherever you feel prakasham, illumination, not we are talking about the light in a person, then you can say that there is satugunam is present in him, right? Just like if you are in a body, if you live in a body, when you are inside the body, right? If you feel healthy, that is because of satugunam. A healthy state is satugunam. Healthy state in the body is satugunam, anamayam, right? Or when you have no diseases, you feeling healthy inside the body, without any problems, that means it is satugunam, right? So, he's saying here that the tatra sattvam nirmalatval prakashakam anamayam. If the satugunam increases in a person, the diseases will be less in him. He will have, this is very clearly seen. People who are in high degree of satugunam, they will have very little physical problems, diseases in the body. There won't be much diseases in the body, right? So, as much as possible, through bhakti, chanting the holy name, or satsangam, kirtanam, in all this way, to the extent you can be absorbed in that, to that extent, the body will become more and more lighter. The body becomes very heavy due to influence of rajogunam and tamogunam. You feel the weight of the body, diseased all the time, all kinds of diseases in the body, and the body becomes heavily affected by that. Body becomes a burden on you. You feel the body as a burden to yourself, right? When satugunam becomes stronger in a person, he feels the body is very lighter. It's not done through exercises and all that. That's not what it means, right? Not done through gym and all, that's nonsense, that's no meaning at all. From Shastram point of view, the body becomes lighter if satugunam builds up in a person. Yeah. So, and naturally, he will feel peaceful inside, there is no diseases and things like that. So, increasing satugunam is the one method for that, to make the body lighter. Right? Then dhyana sukham, meditation processes, and sukham from bhakti, and similarly from bhajans, and similarly health, feeling healthy in the body, not feeling any diseases in the body, feeling free from all those things. All these things are satugunam. That means feeling happiness in satsangam, feeling happiness in meditation, feeling happiness in chanting the holy name, and also feeling happiness in the physically, all these are symptoms of satugunam in a person. I think it's clear, isn't it? When Satugunam is strong in a person, he will enjoy all these things. His body is lighter. He feels body is not a burden anymore. For majority of us, I don't know about you, body is a burden. Yeah, body becomes a burden. If we can get rid of it somehow, you'll be more than happy to leave it and go, because it becomes a problem. So that feeling won't be there in Satugunam. Satugunam, body is not becoming a burden on us. You feel very lighter with the body. That's one. Similarly, you feel happiness in chanting the holy name. Feel inspiration from inside to chant. And because of that, Satugunam inside. Satugunam improves that desire for chanting. Satugunam improves for desire for engaging in bhajans. And similarly, Satugunam also desires for satsangam and hearing Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam. All these are coming from Satugunam. But what happens is, when these things happen, you start sticking to it. The sticking will happen, right? So therefore Krishna is saying, Sukha Sangena Badhanadi. Due to that, you start sticking. When happiness comes like that, you start becoming attached to it. So knowledge, attraction for knowledge, attraction for inquisitiveness, for knowledge of the soul, jignasa. And similarly, you want to know the truth. In other words, only when Satugunam increases in a person, you will become more inquisitive about Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam. You will have more desire to understand what Krishna is saying. Otherwise, you will just come and go on top of the head like that. Nothing will go inside. In Rajogunam and Tamogunam, if Shravanam happens, what will happen is that nothing would have gone inside. He has come, he has gone. That's all. He was here whole time, but nothing has gone inside. That's the Rajogunam and Tamogunam, right? So, that is when Satogunam dominates in a person, that is when you want to understand the Bhagavad Gita. In other words, you have started getting attracted to Bhagavad Gita. Attraction comes to Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam and all that, right? And only if it is in Satogunam, you will be able to hear Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam properly. Only when there is Satogunam, right? And you can observe that people who are in Rajogunam, they will be very restless when they are hearing Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam. Always very restless, right? And they will be looking at their watch, when is it going to finish? They are here, but they are it's nobody's fault. It is the Rajogunam that is doing this to them. When is it going to finish? They will keep looking at the watch, someone will sit like this. To completely frustrated, depressed about everything, what is spoken. Nothing is getting inside. It's our own life it is. There's nothing you can do about it. It's just the way things are. How to explain the Rajogunam? That's a way to understand Rajogunam, right? Rajogunam means restlessness. Always restless. Not able to do anything properly. Not shanti inside, right? So when will they stop? Always will be looking at the watch, right? Tamogunam doesn't have that problem, right? What their Tamogunam knows is, they will only remember when they came and sat in the class, and they'll only remember when they leave the class. All the others, they are not even conscious of anything what happened in the class. That's Tamogunam. So now you see the difference between Satugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. Very clear, specifically spoken like that. Satugunam, if you come to the class, the way he, Shravanam, listens is different. Rajogunam will be disturbed all the time, not attracted to it. And Tamogunam means he won't even know that the class was going on. He will only remember when he came in, and he will remember when the class is over, everybody is leaving, he'll also leave. That's Tamogunam. Yeah. So, just like, you know, this Kathakali, it happens whole night, right? Starts at about 9 o'clock, 8, 9 in the night, and finishes at 5, 6 in the morning. So, a lot of people go for Kathakali because they'll say, we'll go and see what. They are not much interested in that, but they'll come still. And they'll come and they'll sleep there. Whole night, They'll sleep there. Instead of sleeping at home, they'll come and sleep there. That's all. Only those who understand Kathakali properly will be able to enjoy it. Everybody cannot enjoy it, right? Similarly, Tamogunam, no problems. So Krishna is talking about Satogunam here, that Jijnyasa is there, the seriousness is there, right? And see, this Shravanendriyam, these two ears, is our speaker set, yeah? It's our speakers, those two speakers, right? This speaker set will work only when there is Satogunam inside us. Otherwise, this speaker set won't function. It is just there, but it won't make any effect, right? So, we will come and sit here, but just because you have come and you have sat here doesn't mean that you have heard it, everything, right? There's a saying, isn't it? Many hear, but very few listen. There's a saying like that, right? In other words, it will go inside the ear, but it has not affected that person. It hasn't made any sense to him. It has not impacted him, in other words, right? Or he may understand something different than what was spoken, right? And many people, they come for programs like Srimad Bhagavatam and all that. But then they sleep a lot in that programs, right? And they got used to it, that style, right? We were thinking that they are hearing it, but you can see there, before the program begins itself, they have no attraction for that. It is because of the... It is not their fault. Don't get it wrong. It's not anybody's fault. It is these three gunams working in a person. That's not the person's... Antaryami is in everybody. Everyone has Antaryami inside. But the modes of nature, what has got inside, will change that person's response to everything. To everything, right? Yeah. So... If Shravanam, hearing, leads to self-realization, then only you can call it a Shravanam. Only if it is leads to self-realization. And there the Sangam comes with knowledge. Jnana Sangam. Yeah? That's what he's saying. Jnana Sangena Chanaka, Krishna is saying there. You see that? Sukha Sangena Badhnadi, Jnana Sangena Chanaka. Why did he say like that? Sukha Sangena Badhnadi. Sattvagunam binds us to Sukham, but he is saying that in self, if it is caused Shravanam, Shravanam creates self-realization, or it is helping self-realization, then, and that Sangam comes through to knowledge. Knowledge means self-realization, means knowledge. Jnana Sangena Chanaka. It does. And that is why in the Bhagavatam, Krishna said that, Satwal Sanjayade Jnanam. Remember? Ekadasha Skandam. Krishna mentions that very specifically, he has put it there. Satwal Sanjayade Jnanam. Rajaso Karmam Evoa. Rajogunam means karmam. Karmam begins from that. So, that is how it is. Tamasam means adharmam. We'll go into adharmam. So, these three modes controls us so strongly in every level, right? Sattugunam, jnanam will come only in sattugunam. Only in sattugunam, jnanam will come in a person, right? And only when sattugunam is there, you can do proper mananam also. Contemplation, jnana vicharam. It's all possible only in sattugunam. In rajogunam and tamogunam, what will happen is, when you start asking this question, who I am, and what Krishna is explaining there, if you ask all these things, he'll fall into sleep, right? Some people will say, when I do some mananam, contemplation, all I can see is darkness, right? And that is also due to the tamogunam. So, Upanishad says, Ahara shuddhau sattva shuddhi, sattva shuddhau dhruva smriti, smriti lobhe sarva dehinam, sarva grandhinam vipramokshaha. So this sattvam, sattugunam, improvement of sattugunam, what he mentions there, that jnanam is saying here, jnana sankhena chanaka. Jnanam is connected with this sukham in the sense that that jnanam is a part of the kshetram and andhakaranam or the subtle body. Just like you get attracted to sukham, sukham, happiness, peacefulness, all that is sukham. Just like you get attracted to sukham, you get attracted to jnanam as well, to self-realization. There are two different things. One is getting attracted to sukham, other one is getting attracted to knowledge. But Krishna is saying that in sattva-gunam, jnana sankhena chanaka, you will be naturally attracted to jnanam. Right? So in Prakriti, we saw here that Ishvara is impregnates the Prakriti. Bijavavam, it is called, right? And from there the creation comes. All creation comes, right? Shiva, Shakti. In other words, spoken in a different way. So, Shakti or the energy, energy and the energetic. Energy is one of the vibhuti of Ishvara, right? And that is present inside us in the form of mind, senses, body, and this whole world. All these are, it comes in, transforms itself in that way. And Chaitanyam, which is inside us, is the Antaryami, and it is His presence all over the body in the Jiva Bhavam. That is all. Chaitanyam is Ishvara, rest everything is Prakriti. Chaitanyam is Ishvara, right? So, when we talk to each other, when you are speaking to someone, right, you can only speak in the field of Prakriti, in the mandalam of Shakti, right? That is why you will see in the Dakshinamurti Sotram, when they asked this question about Brahman, Dakshinamurti was silent, isn't it? Maunavyaka Prakritatam, first verse itself. It says, Dakshinamurti, Srinarada Maharshi and the four Kumaras comes to see Lord Shiva. And they want to hear from him about the truth. Lord Shiva sat there quietly. No communication. But communication did happen. Dakshinamurti, Shiva's that form of knowledge, delivering the transcendental knowledge, is Dakshinamurti form. So Shiva sits there as Dakshinamurti, and the knowledge gets transmitted. It happens in the heart of the Kumaras. Four Kumaras gets the realization from Dakshinamurti. So, when you speak verbally, transmission doesn't happen. That means you have come to, you will have to recognize Shakti. Whereas, when you are silent, it happens from Chaitanyam to Chaitanyam. Chaitanyam to Chaitanyam, right? So, mind, senses, all of those things is the field of Shakti, right? And the whole creation is Shakti. And once you go inwards, the soul, which is present inside as the spiritual power, which is the soul, which is Chit Shakti, right? So, Chit Shakti inside, Jada Shakti outside. Chit Shakti Chedana Rubam, Jada Shakti Jadalmiya. Lalla Sahasranamam says like that. Chit Shakti Chetana Rupam Jada Shakti Jadalmiga. Everything, this body, mind, senses, everything is part of the Jadam, Jada Shakti. And similarly, the whole creation is Jada Shakti. Chit Shakti is in the form of Chetana. Chetana means Chaitanyam. Chit Shakti Chetana Rupam Jada Shakti Jadalmiga. Right? Power of the matter, right? So, all kinds of living entities are present here. And Krishna said that before, Tasam Brahma Mahad Yonir Aham Bija Pradapita. Right? Mahad Brahmam, and the Yoni, or the womb of all that, I am the seed-giving father, Bija Prada. Right? So, Janaga Janani Bhavam, Krishna is accepting that. Two forms, Janaga and Janani, mother and the father. Mother and the father. So, this becoming two, Dvaidam, right? One becomes through. Krishna himself becomes like that. Janaka and Janani, father and mother. And when they come together, creation happens. Right? So many names and forms comes from that. And all living entities is a product of that. Right? After saying that, the main topic in this chapter is Gunatraya Vibhaga Yogam. That's the title of this chapter, right? Krishna is going to enter into that topic seriously to tell us the Sattvagunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, that topic, right? Only if you understand this chapter of these three modes of nature, it is possible to reach the highest level of spiritual knowledge. Adhyalpa Jnanam, its highest level is knowing these three modes of nature and becoming free from that. Yeah? In other words, Tattva Jnanam, Atma Tattva Jnanam or self-realization will only happen if you study this chapter properly. That's the importance of this chapter. Because these three modes is so powerful. So much powerful, right? Right. So, that is the reason. First thing what Krishna is going to do is to talk about a person who has transcended the three modes of nature. How he will be. What will be his state, right? You know the word manushya means human being, right? Where did this come from, this word manushya? Manushya comes from the word mind, manasa. From manasa comes manushya. Manushya has got manasa. Manasa means mind. Yeah, one who has got mind is manushya. One who has got mind is manushya, right? So, the first person, manushya, is in the Bhagavad Gita mentioned Manu, Swayambhu Manu, and his wife Shatarupa. Shatarupa, you see these words, you have to look at it, why such names? You don't find a name Shatarupa these days, right? But why there was a name like that? So many names in the Bhagavad Gita is like that. There's some reason. Ajamila, for example. Why word Ajamila? Ajam means Maya. One who has subdued by Maya. That's how his real name is not Ajamila. What Bhagavadam has given his name, a different name as Ajamila. And similarly, Shatarupa. All these names are based on their activities in this world. Right? Shatarupa means that she can take hundreds of forms, different forms. Right? Manu is a mind. And Shatarupa is that power which can take hundreds of different forms of the power of the mind, right? Where did that come from? Brahma, Lord Brahma created, and you see that from his mind he did the creation first, right? And that creation coming from Shuddha Sattvam, the first Srishti itself, this is an interesting concept, right? Compare this what Bhagavatam is saying and what the theory of evolution is saying. Yeah, if you look at both seriously, we will feel ashamed that we are studying something so wrong. I'll tell you why, right? So, evolution theory and the Rishi's theory are totally different. Totally different, right? So, we were taught in the schools that there were the people from the Stone Age, and there were some pictures also in our history books, how they looked like, and how they lived in the Stone Age, they call it, isn't it? Stone Age, yeah. And then in the Stone Age, they looked not so developed like we are now today. We are very fully developed, aren't we? They were not developed, yeah. They looked more like gorillas and chimpanzees and all that. And then the form kept changing, improved. This is the evolutionary theory taught in the schools and colleges, right? And gradually they became civilized, as we say now. And we are supposed to be the most civilized now. We, all of us, right? So based, and this is completely based on sheer ego, ahankaram inside, right? So if you look at this principle, if you accept this principle, what does that mean? That means my father was more stupid than me. His father was more stupid than him. Based on this theory, it comes out like that, isn't it? I am the most intelligent one, but my father was an idiot. And his father was more idiot. And then his father was most idiot. Like that, generation after generation, if you go back, they were the most idiotic, and now you see, they all became better and better, and finally me, the perfect one, has come out from this. This is the theory I am learning now. Yeah, I am the perfection, they were all idiots. My father was an idiot, his father was more idiot, because according to this theory, evolutionary theory, right? So, this is our theory. So, if you begin from the origin, from the source it has happened, we have become more and more civilized and you become perfect now, right? And now what will happen? Our children will say the same thing, that we are idiots. They are more perfect than us. That will be their argument, would they not? They have got the right to say, because that's the evolutional theory. It is developing like that, right? Parinama Siddhantam, it's called, the theory of evolution, right? And naturally, he will call us as stupid. The sons and daughters, they will think that we are stupid. That's why they will see us, right? So, to develop this theory, Darwin worked very hard to come to this conclusion, right? He wandered around in the forest, met a lot of different types of animals and different types of gorillas and chimpanzees and all that. And he saw so many animals also. And he took all their bones and skeletons and everything. And then he developed this, that is his pramanam, documents for that, proof for this. That's how he is proving everything, right? And once it is introduced in the schools, and it has been taught in the schools, it becomes acceptable in the society. And does that mean it is acceptable? Does that mean that, right? Shastram, you look at Shastram. What does Shastram say? Shastram says, first creation is perfect. Everything is perfect in the source. In the source, everything is perfect. Then gradually, one after the other, generation after generation, it becomes more and more imperfect. It's completely opposite to what Darwin has taught and what the modern science is thinking. And because it is like that, it is very difficult to accept any arguments from the atheists or any arguments from the scientists on this point. Because if you accept their theory that we have developed over a long period of time and we are the perfect ones, indirectly you are saying that your father, your mother were stupid, they didn't know, we know better, and their parents were more stupid, and their parents are more stupid, like that generation after generation goes stupid, stupid, stupid all over, right? And whereas if you look at Krishna's point is, the source is perfect. When creation started, it was perfect. Gradually it degraded, 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 and we have come to the lowest level now. And the next one will be going to be further degraded than this, right? So imperfection comes from perfection. Their principle is from perfection comes imperfection. From imperfection, perfection cannot come. That's the most important thing. From perfection, imperfection can come. Now you use your intelligence and think about it. What does that not make sense? From perfection only imperfection can come. From imperfection, perfection cannot come. It is not possible. That is the principle of the Shastram. Vedam does not accept this nonsense. Vedam says, from imperfection, perfection cannot come. It is not possible. From perfection, imperfection can come. That's the way it works, right? And so, perfection is natural creation, the source, when it started, right? Take, for example, literature, field of literature, right? And the first poet in the Sanskrit literature is Valmiki, right? Valmiki is considered to be Adikavi. After that, there is no famous Kavi like him. Valmiki was the famous one, right? Kalidas has come later, recent times, not that old, like Valmiki is, right? And even Kalidas says, I am following him. You see that? I am following him, he says. In other words, he respects Valmiki's vision, darshanam, much higher than his own darshanam. Kavi means Kranta darshanam, who has got darshanam. So his darshanam, Kalidas said, Kalidas is a famous poet in the Sanskrit language. He admits that Valmiki is Adikavi. It is his darshanam, I am following him, he says. Right? So, and there is no other srishti, right? Where did this come from? Because Valmiki got the knowledge, it was revealed to him, right? Revealed knowledge will always be perfect. Researched knowledge will never be perfect. That's the conclusion. Revealed knowledge will always be perfect. Researched knowledge will never be perfect. That you have to think about it. And then you will understand, right? When revelation is, okay, when revelation is interpreted by human brain, imperfection comes into that. When we started interpreting with our human brain, right? So, Vedam, in the beginning of the creation, right? Prajapatis were given this, and Prajapati gave it to the rishis, and it was revealed to the rishis, the knowledge in the Vedam, right? That is why Vedam is accepted as the topmost authority. You can say anything you want, at the end of the day, Vedam is the authority. You can say anything you like, because it has come from the source, and it was revealed from the truth. Because at that stage, when it was revealed to the rishis, at that time, the mind has not polluted that. By the time it has come to our level, what happens? The mind pollutes everything. Our mind gets involved and it starts polluting. And so Purusha Buddhi, our Buddhi, does not get involved and destroys the purity of the message. Right? So this is the reason the great personalities who have realized the truth, when they are established in the truth, they are so conscious of that the knowledge what they have or the realization what they have has come from the source. They don't take anything from the researched knowledge. They don't want anything to do with the researched knowledge. All the great realized souls, their realization has come from the source, original source, absolute truth itself. Therefore, there is no imperfection in their realization, right? And therefore they will say, I didn't invent anything, they say. Means that neither my mind nor my brain or intelligence interpret anything of what I have received from the source. And that is knowledge. Proper knowledge is that, vidya, brahma vidya, right? And that same knowledge, what was spoken from the source, revealed through the in the Vedam, has manifested within my heart. That is how they receive the knowledge. Yeah. So, later on, you read the Upanishads, and they didn't study the Upanishads, but the knowledge happened to them, revealed to them from inside. And later on, when you read the Upanishads to them, it matches with their realizations, what has come from them, right? In other words, there is no corruption of the knowledge within them. And that means our buddhi did not get involved and start interpreting that and making it all kinds of complications, right? There is no filtering with the buddhi. And therefore that buddhi, that knowledge remains pure. And that revelations, what they have, were originally when it comes from the source, or in other words, it is called Sargalmagattam. Sargalmagattam means it is coming from the original source where creation came from. That is what jnanis and the rishis, they all get to experience in their samadhi state. Right? So when they touch that in the samadhi state, they will have these realizations. Vedam, knowledge of the Vedam, that will be revealed to them, and that is the topic. you see this, that is what that Bhagavatam talking about? What? Bhagavatam is saying, Brahma created these four Kumaras from the mind, it says. Is it not? Sanaka, Sananda, Sanadana, Sanat Kumara. The four Kumaras, right? When they were created, they were the first people who were created. The first creation of Brahma is these four Kumaras, right? And they were all fully realized souls. They were all fully realized souls. And they were fully established in the self-realized state. Why is that? Because it has come from the source itself, directly to them, right? So, because of that, what happened? When Brahma told them to start creation, they didn't want to do creation. They refused. Did they not? In the Bhagavatam, third canto. They refused to creation. They didn't want to get involved. And then, people who came after that, little by little, the avidya started creeping in. Now you see this. Bhagavatam says, Gita says, Upanishad says, in the knowledge in its pure form is in the source. When it comes through us, generation after generation, it gets interpreted, polluted by our mind and intelligence. Yeah? So, in order to creation to happen, Brahma realized that they were not willing to do creation, the four Kumaras, right? So he realized that in order to creation to happen, it has to be polluted. The knowledge has to be polluted. So, and that is why once it so happened that Brahma wanted creation, Brahma was told to create. But Brahma was doing experiments and he realized that Kumaras are not willing to create. He wanted to start creation, but Kumaras are not willing to create, right? Narada Maharshi went to see Lord Brahma and Brahma was in a confused state. What to do about it? Nobody is willing to do creation. He wanted to create, right? Narada Maharshi asked him what happened. He asked Lord Brahma. This is a story, but if you see the message, it's very interesting. Narada Maharshi asked Brahma, what happened? He said, Brahma says that I made a mistake, he said, that when I did creation, I forgot to put in some people this thing called brain in them. Brain. I forgot to put it in, he said, right. Please go and find out in the people who are there already. How are they doing without the brain? How do they live in this world, right? Maybe they are struggling in life without this thing called brain, right? So Narada Maharshi said, I'll go and have a look at it. He came around and looked at people. And then he came back and he told him, I think you've done the right thing. That you forgot to put the brain. It's the best thing what you have done. Not to put this thing called brain inside, he said. Right? Because it is those people where you have forgotten to put the brain in, they are all the politicians now, he says. All these politicians are these brainless ones who have no, they don't have the brain, right? And they are the people who are doing all administration everywhere. They are in charge of the administration. And so, therefore, it is better that you leave them like that. Let them do what they want. And so Brahma says here that his body split into two, male and the female. It is in the Bhagavatam, right? Male and female means Prakriti and Purusha, right? So when we say like that, it's not in the sense what we use in the normal world, right? So all the women are not women, all the men are not men either. In the women, the female nature manifested, and in the men, the manly nature, Paurusham, manifested in them. That's all. In both of them, there is male-female bhavam. Male-female bhavam is present in both of them. And just like in male also, there is father, mother, nature is in him. Similarly, that is why you will see in Devi Mahalmyam, there is this prayers, famous prayers, right? ఇట్ సేస్ యాదేవి సర్వభూతేషు మాతృ రూపేణ సంస్థిత. సర్వభూతేషు దట్ మీన్స్ ఇన్ మేల్ ఆల్సో దేర్ ఇస్ మదర్ ఫాదర్ మదర్ ఫామ్ అండ్ ఇన్ ది ఫీమేల్ ఆల్సో దేర్ ఇస్ ఫాదర్ మదర్ ఫామ్ ఇన్ బోత్ ఆఫ్ దమ్. యాదేవి సర్వభూతేషు మాతృ రూపేణ సంస్థిత నమస్తస్యై 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 నమో నమః. So this all living entities, in all living entities there is this Prakriti Purusha. With that difference it has been created. It has been created. When it is created in that way, Krishna is saying here that the Srishti continues with that. Yeah. So, in that creation process, the first people who were created were Manu and Shatrupa, right? So, from then onwards, Srishti begins. Brahma does not have any problem. From this word Manu came the word man. Man comes from the word Manu, right? Manu, Manuja, Manushya, all these things, right? So, basically, these words, none of them is, all of them are, means the same thing. Manu, Manuja, Manushya, they are all the same thing, right? And they are responsible for, and or this mind is responsible for, three things. Sukham, Dukham, and Pravritti, Karma. All these things takes birth in the mind. First, it takes birth in the mind, right? And this three mind is made of these three modes of nature. Krishna has said that before. And just like in the, what he mentioned before, this air, bile and mucus in the body, the same way. In the same way, in the mind also, these three modes of nature is present. Satugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, right? And these three modes of nature will always be working in us, all the time in our mind. Three modes of nature is always working within our mind, all the time. Yeah? And therefore, there is no living entity without them. There is no living entity without them. When these three modes of nature are working always, when they are working, at that time, Krishna is saying this. Which one? Sattvam rajastama iti guna prakriti sambhava. Right? That means, this sattvam rajogunam tamogunam creates in us our prakriti. Which are working inside our mind, creates our prakriti. Prakriti means our nature. A person's behavior, if you observe, you will see how each of these gunams is working in him. Satugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. And so, our prakriti is created by the three modes of nature. And that is what he is saying here, that the sattvam rajastama iti guna prakriti sambhava. You see that in the fifth chapter, verse. Sattvam rajastama iti guna prakriti sambhava. In other words, these three modes of nature creates the prakriti in a person. His prakriti, our nature, in other words, right? And prakritehe sobhavat, you have to look at these words carefully, because Krishna says, prakritehe sobhavat, you look at these words, kayena vaja manasendriyerva buddhyalpanava prakrite sobhavat. You see that word? Prakrite sobhavat. Famous words, isn't it? Bhagavata Dharmam. Kayena vaja manasendriyerva buddhyalpanava prakrite sobhavat. Yeah? So, prakrite sobhavat, karomi yadyat sakalam parasmai narayana yadi samarpayami. So, prakritehe sobhavat, kayena vaja, kayena manasa indriye buddhya alpana. All of these things is prakrite sobhavat. In other words, our body will act according to that prakriti. Our mind will act according to that prakriti. Our senses will act according to that prakriti. And buddhi will act according to the prakriti. All of that is prakriti. Prakriti is the reservoir. Prakriti is the reservoir. And these three modes of nature that has entered into our mind and continuously changing, accordingly, body will act, intelligence will act, mind will act, senses will act, everything will act accordingly in that way. So according to your prakriti, your body will do things. If you observe yourself, you can see that. According to your prakriti, the body will do things, right? And similarly, mind will work according to your prakriti. And it is based on your prakriti, when you look at things, what you see things in the world. Depending on the prakriti, you will see things. And similarly, according to your prakriti, you will hear things. According to your prakriti, you will taste the food. According to your prakriti, you will touch the things and feel. According to your prakriti, you will smell. So, strictly speaking, this prakriti is a prison of ours. We are in that prison of prakriti. Right? You can think anything you want. You can spend all your time thinking about different things. You can only think within this prison of prakriti. Because you are put inside this prakriti. Within that prakriti only, you can even think what to talk about doing anything else. That is why this prakriti is the most difficult thing to overcome. Is it not? Krishna said that. The most difficult thing to overcome is this prakriti. In the 7th chapter, he says that. That prakriti is most difficult to overcome. It is difficult to overcome this prakriti. Prakriti is gone into everything. Body is acting under the control of prakriti. Mind is acting under the control of prakriti. Intelligence is acting under the control of prakriti. Senses are acting under the control of prakriti. Even your thinking is within this prakriti. So this is the prison we are inside. We think that, we have thought about this, I've got this conclusion, I've understood, I've realized and all that. But it's all within the prakriti only. Devikesha gunamai, Krishna said. Mama maya durateya. That's the proof of this statement here. So this prakriti is our prison. Prakriti is our prison. Whatever you may think is also you're within this prakriti, only you can think. You're not free from the prakriti even at that time, right? You may say like this, to my mind, I think like this. Even in intuition also, it is like that, right? So, even whatever you are thinking is also within this jail, prison, right? Just like in Swapnam, in dream state, you thought some things. Does it mean anything? In the same way, right? So, therefore, Krishna is saying here, only one thing you have to know, whatever you are thinking in your mind, that is not real, right? So many things you would think in your mind. But because prakriti, you are within your prakriti, therefore it is not real. That is why in Ekadasha Skandam, when Krishna started talking to Uddhava, he mentioned that. Remember? About the mind, what did he say? He said, Vidhi maya manomayam, he says. Yadidam manaso vaja. You can see how subtle the whole thing is. In the most subtle level he is speaking. Completely on the platform of the soul. Totally disconnected from the prakriti. It is in that level those verses were spoken. Yadidam manaso vaja. Chakshurbhyam shravanadibi. Nashwaram. Grihyamanam cha vidhi. Mayamayam manomayam. It is. It has come from the mind. Therefore it is maya. Therefore it is mayamayam, it is manomayam. So when you study those verses, you have to become more subtle inside to understand that verses. On what background it was spoken. Remember that this prakriti is controlling us all the time. You are locked up inside that. And therefore you have no independence. You may think that I am very intelligent and I have heard from this, I heard from that. All that's fine. But the fact remains that you are under these three modes of nature all the time, right? So, because of the influence of prakriti, what happens is, sometimes you may think in a good way, You want to see, do something good in this world. You want it to be helpful to others. You wanted to do something good for others, right? And some other times, because you are under the prakriti, you'll feel like killing everybody and destroying others also. That's also coming from prakriti. This is all prakriti, within the prakriti, right? And so when thoughts come inside like that, yeah, you have to take it like this. These thoughts are coming inside my mind. That's coming from prakriti, right? So in that way, you have to become free from the thoughts. This is what Krishna is saying to Uddhava. That Uddhava, all these thoughts will come inside. All kinds of thoughts will come, good, bad. And sometimes you may think that why such thoughts have come to me. Krishna is saying that's because of the prakriti. We ask the question, he's saying, why such thoughts came to me? Because of the prakriti inside. My prakriti is the top controller of everything. Prakriti controls everything. And within that prakriti, we are inside that. And we have that much independence only to think within the prakriti only. Prakriti dictates from everything, and accordingly your mind will act, your body will act, your senses will act, your intelligence will act, your ahankaram will act. Everything will act according to the dictation from the prakriti. Prakriti is in control of everything. So, so many times, different emotions come in us, isn't it? Anger, lust, greed, things like that. All that is prakriti. So this prakriti, we will be forced to work according to the prakriti. That is why Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita, prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. Famous, isn't it? That verse. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. Prakriti is doing everything. Gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimodhatma karta hamidi manyate. We, in our ignorance, think that I am doing it. Ahankara vimodhatma karta hamidi manyate. I think I am the doer. But prakriti is doing it. Krishna is very straight about that things. Krishna can talk this because he is above prakriti. So he can, whereas we are all inside this prakriti. And therefore it is so, right? So with the body, whatever we do is prakriti. With the walk, words, what we speak, based on the prakriti. Similarly, mind, senses, our ego, they will all work under the influence of prakriti. And from that work what we do through these things, results will come, right? And when the results come from the prakriti, and when the results come after doing the work, what will happen is the prakriti will become strengthened in us. Prakriti present inside us will become much more stronger. That is why karmam is given so much stress, spoken about karmam. If we do engage in karmam, what karmam does is, ultimately, karmam will bind us. That's what that means. Vasanas will come, karma vasana will come. That means your prakriti will become much more stronger due to karmam. Right? So this is why it is called a chakram, the wheel of samsaram, as it is called. So self-realization means that if this prakriti leaves you completely, then you are self-realized. If prakriti leaves you completely, you are self-realized, right? So there are examples like this, that, you know, in the olden days there was this film projector. This is a film projector, right? And you go to cinema theater and you can see the projector also at the back. There will be the projector, right? And there is a reel of film in the front, right? And the light from the back, and there is a screen. It comes through the film and project on the screen, right? And in the screen, beginning, there's only the light, white screen, you see there, right? When the film comes, right, when the film is put in, the reel is put in on the projector, then the film starts on the screen, right? Nowadays, people don't go to theater so much to see cinema. But 50 years ago, That was the only place where you could go. There was no television and things like that. So you get used to that. This projector you will see when you get inside the theater, you see the projector there. So, and based on that reel, cinema reel, film reel, what is put on, the light is projecting through the reel and it is presenting the cinema you can see on the big screen, theater, right? In the same way, in the same way, this chit shakti inside, chit jyoti, the andaryami inside, which is chit shakti, chit jyoti, whichever way you call that, it's one and the same thing. It is coming through our vasanas, which is in our subtle body. And the chit jyoti or chit shakti or the andaryami is prakasham, is pure chaitanyam, right? That experience itself is chaitanyam. But when it comes through our eyes, ears, nose, all other senses, right? What is the film? Film is the prakriti. So, remember this. The andaryami from inside is coming out through all these senses to the world outside. But prakriti is there as the film. So that means when I look through something through my eyes, because my prakriti influences my eyes, what I see will be different from somebody else, what he sees about that. That's why the difference comes in us. You know, about various things, if you look at it, we all have difference of opinion about some things, isn't it? Why is this difference of opinion? Because the prakriti inside us is like that film. That prakriti, the andaryami inside, comes through that film, through our prakriti, and projects it through the eyes, through the ear, through the nose, through the mouth, and everything. And when it makes contact with any object in this world, the response will depend on the prakriti inside us. It will have an influence on your experience of the object. That is why we all see things differently because of this problem. We all don't see everything the same way. We see things differently. One food is good for someone likes it, somebody doesn't like it. Why is that? Prakriti. Is it not? Some people don't like sweets at all. And some people like love sweets. Why? Where is that difference coming from? Prakriti. Prakriti is creating this. Similarly smell, similarly touch, similarly taste, similarly eyes, vision, everything varies according to the prakriti in a person. Prakriti makes that difference, right? So, so through this prakriti only, this chit jyoti or chit shakti can come through the senses in that way. So, according to the interpretation of the prakriti, we are calling it by different names, right? Just like you can remove the film roll, you can take it away from the projector and put a new roll inside, and then the film changes in the same way. So, if you take out the whole roll, all you see is light only, white light. So, similarly, if our prakriti leaves us, then what will happen is, when you look through all the senses into this world, what you find is, the andaryami chaitanyam going there everywhere, and only andaryami chaitanyam you will see everywhere. I know it is a very subtle thing. You can only explain it like this, but this is all for realization. When prakriti, so what Krishna is saying is, when prakriti leaves you, what will happen is, all your sensual interaction with the world, the thoughts inside, emotions inside, everything will change. Because your prakriti has left you. At the moment, prakriti is affecting everything what you do, what you think, what you do, and what you perceive through senses. Everything is through prakriti you are seeing that. You are not seeing directly things. You are seeing through the prakriti. Prakriti's power is so strong in everyone, that's why Krishna mentioned that prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. Prakriti and its gunam does everything. Basically, prakriti dictates what you see. Prakriti dictates what you taste. Prakriti dictates what you find happiness or distress. Everything is under prakriti's tight control. That's what Krishna is explaining here. So what he said there in the Prakriti-Kriyamanani verse is bringing back again here to stress this point to us that Prakriti is all powerful and that is present inside, right? So, so there is this statement that when Prakriti leaves us, you will only see presence of Antaryami everywhere, right? Chidagasham, or that is when you say that the Tattva Jnanam means Tattvam has woken up inside. Antaryami has woken up inside. And he has Prakasham, light everywhere. Good, bad. You see this good, bad. You remember Krishna said about this before, that Gunam Dosham, all, you know, something is good, something is bad, we say in this world, and that is because of this Prakriti only, you are saying that. You remember Ekadashi Skandam? Guna dosham ubhaya varjida. Guna dosha drishir dosham gunastu ubhaya varjida. Ekadashi Skandam, Krishna said. And everyone starts thinking. First Krishna says, this is gunam, this is good, this is bad. Then Krishna is saying, to see things good and bad itself is bad. You see? Why did he say like that? This is because of this. When you have become free from Prakriti, there is no good and bad anymore. Good and bad is right and wrong and all is only when you are under the control of Prakriti. Guna dosha drashir dosham gunastu bhaya varjidaha is saying. Ekadashi Skandam. Guna dosha drashir dosham. To see good and bad itself is dosham. Gunamstu ubhaya varjidaha. Completely giving up it is gunam, he said. It's the best. Not having any effect on that. Yeah. So these are very subtle things in the Bhagavadam. What Bhagavad Gita says, Bhagavadam is also saying in a different way. To Uddhava, Krishna has said that. Yeah. So it is in this way. our body, we are seeing it like that. This creation, we are seeing it in that way. everything becomes important when Prakriti has withdrawn. And then what you see is Prakasham. Everything there is only Jyoti everywhere. When Prakriti withdraws from us. So, we'll discuss that after the break.
Chedo darpanam arjanam vaumaha davagni nirvapanam shreyakaitava chandriga vidaranam vidhyavadho jivanam anandambudhi vardhanam pradipada purnamrada swadhanam sarvatna sobanam varam vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam Namnamadari Bhuda Nija Sarva Shakti Tatrarpida Nemida Smaranena Kala Eda Dushitava Kriba Bhagavan Mamabi Durdeva Midrishamiha Janina Nuryagaham Tranarabhi Shunichena Tarorabhi Sahishnuna Amani Namana Dena Kirtani Sadahari Nathanam Najanam Nasundari Kavidamba Jagadi Shakamahi Mama Janmani Janmani Shwari Bhavadal Bhakti Rahai Dugitvai Ayi Nanda Tanuja Kinkaram Padinamam Shami Bhavambudav Krubayatava Pada Pangajastita Duli Sadrasham Vichindaya Nayanam Galada Shudharaya Vadanam Gidgadarudhaya Gira Pulagar Nijidam Gadavabu Tavannam Grahane Bhavishyadi Yuga Idam Nimeshena Chakshusha Pravisha Idam Shunya Idam Jagal Sarvam Govinda Virahe Name Ashleshava Padaradam Pinashumam Adarshanam Marmahadam Karyotuva Yathatadava Vidadadulam Bado Malprananatha Sunevana Para Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sangirtanam Govinda Govinda.
So Krishna is saying that in that fifth verse, Sattvam Rajastamaiti Guna Prakriti Sambhavaha Nibadhrandi Mahavaho Dehe Dehinam Avyayam. Prakasham. Prakasham means the illumination from inside, Antaryami. That chill prakasham when comes through the senses into the world, we are experiencing it within,
And that's what is, that Prakasham is seeing all these things in different forms, names and forms. In the Dakshinamurti Sotram, the same thing what Krishna is saying here is spoken in one verse. Nana Chidra Gadodara Stida Maha Deepa Prabha Bhaswaram Jnanam Yasidu Chakshuradi Karanam Dwara Bahismandade Jana Midi Tameva Bhandam Anubhatyavam Samastam Jagal Tasmai Shri Gurumurtaye Namahidam Shri Dakshinamurtaye. Fourth verse in the Dakshinamurti Sotram. It is considered to be like an Upanishad, this Dakshinamurti Ashtagam. Right? So, what it's saying is that a pot, clay pot, which has got a lot of holes all over, different holes, right? And inside the pot, there is a lamp burning. And through these holes, the light comes out. The lamp inside, but through the holes, the light is coming out, right? Similarly, in the same way, the Antaryami inside, his Chit Shakti, or Prakasham, whatever, the illumination from that Antaryami, comes through the senses in the same way. The same Chit Shakti comes through all the senses into the world. Like the lamp, light of the lamp, comes through the different holes in the pots outwardly. In the same way, the Chit Shakti inside us, it comes through all the senses into the world outside. And when it comes out, what happens? When the Chit Shakti comes out, it wants to know many things in the world, what is happening outside. Right? And when it comes out, it gets to know many things. And it wants to know things, one thing. And you are perceiving things. For example, you get to see the buildings, the mountains, the rivers, the oceans, everything. All this knowledge is coming because of the presence of Chit Shakti coming out through the senses. It is the power of the Chit Shakti that is making that happen. I experience the presence of the mountain, of the rivers, of the trees, plants, and other people, everything. This experience comes to us because the Chit Shakti from inside comes out through these holes. Senses are nothing but holes through which it comes out. So, and it is that light from inside, Chit Shakti, is taking these different forms of the... You see, this is a very subtle thing. You won't understand it when you hear these things from the Upanishads and all. That this light inside, which comes out through the senses, is what is taking the shape and names and forms what you perceive in the world outside. It's not like seeing through the senses what you see. What we normally think is, we are seeing things, object is there, and that the object is real, and that's the understanding inside. The object is real, and I am seeing through my eyes. This is the gross way of seeing things. The proper way of seeing things is, what the Upanishads are saying is, that the Prakasham inside, the illumination inside, Antaryami inside, goes through these holes, and it is because of the Antaryami that all these forms are existing outside. Yeah. So, and it takes the different forms and different bhavam in all of them, and similarly different mood which you find in all these things, right? So, that bhavam, what you feel when you see the when you are seeing the objects, what it means is, Krishna is saying this, that the Antaryami comes through the holes to the world outside, and the impression that creates inside us, right, that's what is Sattvarajas Tamogunam. So how Sattvagunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam works, it's like this. I don't know whether you get it, because see, Antaryami inside, Antaryami comes out, and you have your Prakriti. So this Antaryami and Prakriti gives you an experience inside of what you think the object is. That is how every object is perceived differently by different people, because it is influenced by his Prakriti and plus his Antaryami together. Similar, so everyone, when we see things, we all think differently about... We think differently about different people, don't we? For me, somebody is a good person. For another person, he is a bad person. He has done this and done that. They will say, why is it like that? We feel this difference among people. Among different people, we get different impressions about different things. Everything in this world is different. The differences are, Krishna is saying here, is due to that Prakriti is making the difference. Because from every one of us, Antaryami comes through the senses to the world outside, but Antaryami and Prakriti combinedly gives an impression inside us, which is different from one to another. So, then he is saying here, and that Prakriti's influence is this Sattvarajas Tamogunam. Suppose the way Antaryami operates in everyone is the same, but the way Prakriti operates is different in everybody. That depends on these three modes, Sattvagunam, Rajagunam, Tamogunam, right? So, now he is asking what is the symptoms of that, what is Sattvagunam, what is Rajagunam, what is Tamogunam, right? Why do we have to know that? Because, you know why? Because rishis, sages, don't believe in giving specifications like the science does. Science like to make everything very specific, define things very specifically. That is not Rishi's method. Rishis are saying that, generally they are like that. Because you are asking what this Sattvagunam, what Rajagunam, what Tamogunam is, they are answering that. Otherwise they are not interested in telling you what Sattvagunam, what Rajagunam, what Tamogunam is. Because you are asking, they are answering that. Yeah. In order to give some interest, to create some interest in us, they will give an explanation for that. Yeah. So that you feel some taste for that. Your buddhi gets interested. Otherwise you will start thinking this Prakriti Gunam. Because these modes of nature is like that. They never work independently. They are always mixed up together. Yeah. So, specification, making specification is not Rishi's method. Generally they don't do that. Right? Modern knowledge is all specifications, isn't it? Everything you want, very specific. Spiritual life also, they want specific. This is, our mind has become like that. We want everything to be specifically told. Only then you can accept it. He's not clear about it. What does it mean? Don't come to spiritual life with that mindset. It's very difficult. You're battling the whole life then. That therefore, it says here that, say for example, a disease, you got some disease, right? And immediately they'll give you a name for the disease, which you may not have heard even what the name. So everything is so specified, everything, the diseases, the medicines, everything, right? And then nowadays know, people come up with all kinds of names for the different diseases. Body is suffering, right? There are so many names for that. If you look into the internet, so many new names what you have never heard of before. And you think that because you got a specific name that we know more about it. No, you don't know anything more about it. Only thing is that you got a new name, that's all. So, they think that they can analyze this body to such fine level that they will know everything about this body. This is what the science is thinking. But the fact is not so. They don't know many things and they also get confused about it at several times, right? So, take for example the mind, right? The way the people analyze this mind and start telling you, you got this problem. They'll tell you, oh, you got this problem. What do they call it? some disorder, you know? And they will say, oh, that's your problem. But then, if that was the only problem for your mind, it's been good. But then you start treating that disease as per your psychiatrist arrangement, then that man is not getting better, he is doing something else now. This is the mind. Mind won't allow you to easily control. Mind has come from Prakriti, right? So, and then you will tell a bipolar disorder, as though it's such a very fine, clearly defined problem with the mind. They are treating the mind like the body. And they are saying that this is your problem. You've got bipolar disorder. That's your problem. There's no other problem. Everything else is fine. Person is sick. And he is behaving in a very in an unusual manner, right? And you are taking him to all these people, psychiatrists and doctors and all that. And they were saying, they decided that this is your problem, and they give you a name, you are happy. They identified the problem. And then they will give you some heavy doses of medicine, you are taking it, thinking that it's going to get cured. What cure? Nothing happens. So the point is this, that as much as possible, rishis do not want that way to go. They do not believe in that because they are saying that as much as possible minimize specification. Their approach is different completely, not the science approach. As much as possible, avoid specifying things. Because when you are specifying things, you are trying to break it up as much as possible and trying to identify separately in detail like that and thinking that different things exist and different things causes this problem. And when you say trigunam, the three modes of nature, even then they want to analyze trigunam again. Once you tell them there is three modes of nature, sattvagunam, rajagunam, tamogunam, then they want to understand sattvagunam in detail. They want to analyze sattvagunam in different ways, right? So, Krishna says, this trigunam he is going to talk about is not for your analysis. If you start analyzing trigunam, you won't get anywhere. It's like karma. You saw yesterday we discussed about karma. How complex karma is, right? Whereas we would like to know everything about karma in detail, specifically spoken, very precisely spoken, and then we are happy and we say we understand it now. So this is our problem. In the same way, just like you cannot understand karma, you cannot understand trigunam either. Trigunam is also like that. Therefore, trigunam, Krishna doesn't want you to go thinking about that. You will understand it. Trigunam is prakriti in a person, isn't it? So if you start, once you are told that trigunam is this, sattvagunam is this, rajagunam is this, tamogunam is this, what we will do, we'll start looking at people and start judging them. Is he in sattvagunam or is he in rajagunam or is he in tamogunam? We'll start thinking like that, and that's wrong. That's not how it works. Right? This sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam continuously changes in a person, and sometimes it's always mixed up also. So, svabhavam prakriti is very much under this mixed conditions. It operates, right? So, they give example in the Shastram in a different way. They're saying that the specifications, right? Making specifications. specified knowledge, for example, they call it a Shakha Chandra Nyayam, which means that the moon is in the sky, and but you showed them the moon. Moon is not the full moon, only just a small, in the early days of the moon, when the moon has come out first after the Amavasi day. Yeah. So there's only one line there, moon. You can't see the moon. The child is asking, where is the moon? I can't see. So what do you do? You're saying to him, look at that tree. And then show him a branch of the tree. He says, yes, I can see. Through that branch you look to the sky. And then you will see there, he says. Similarly, by showing the tree and the tree's branch, and through that, if you want, look at the sky, and then you see the moon there. In the same way, through these three modes of nature, sattvagunam, rajagunam, and tamogunam, Krishna is creating interest in us to look at it, and through that, making us to understand how the mind works, how the mind operates, right? Not for studying the mind, or teach the body, neither the body or the mind, You can study about this body as much as you like, but body is beyond our understanding. That's the first thing, beyond our understanding. You can keep on studying about this body for whole lifetime, and it has been going on for so many years now. People have been studying this body, and still it is a mystery. This body is a mystery, right? So, yeah. So, the body, the rishis also studied this body. Not only we are the first people to study the body, they have also studied the body. And they came up with a different understanding, like Ashtanga Yoga will say pranamayam, annamayam, manomayam, vijnanamayam, anandamayam, different ways they have seen that. And when you look at it, you may think that Patanjali has spoken very specifically everything through Ashtanga Yoga, right? And when you look at through Vedavyasa Maharshi is looking at the body, he will keep talking about Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, the three states of this, our existence, right? But to be honest about that, neither Vedavyas nor Patanjali is interested in making specifications. Because if you make specifications, what the problem is that you will go keep on looking at it with the specifications. Therefore, Patanjali will say this, annamayam, pranamayam, manomayam, vijnanamayam, anandamayam, none of them exist. He will say like this at the end. Only Atma exists. Only the soul exists. So, for convenience, these are not like three modes of nature, also in the same way. It's not something you can take it as though you are studying matter. You don't study it like that, like the way you study matter, right? What really exists is only the Chaitanyam inside, Antaryami. That's only the reality. It is transforming itself in many ways as modes of nature, as the different changes it brings in the mind. That means in our bhavamandalam. In our bhavamandalam. Bhavamandalam means manomandalam. In our mind, what impact it creates, prakriti creates, that is what this sattvagunam, rajagunam, tamogunam. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. Sattvagunam, rajagunam, tamogunam is not something what you can analyze to such an extent. It is a prakriti influencing the mind and its effect on the mind. What it happens, right? So, just like seasons come in the nature, autumn, winter, and spring, like that is changing. In the same way, inside in the mind, what happens? Like it happens outside, seasons change. In the same way, these seasons change inside us. The season is changing inside us. That is the three modes of nature. Right. So initially Krishna is going to talk about, which is the sixth verse, the sattvagunam. What sattvagunam does to us, right? Satra sattvam nirmalatval prakashakam anamayam sukasankhena badhnadi jnanasankhena chanaka. He says, the first of all, the quality of sattvagunam is that it is enlightenment. There is light inside, no darkness. Ignorance is gone. And then it is harmless. It doesn't harm. Sattvagunam doesn't harm anybody. Apart from that, the feeling of happiness inside. Someone feels happy. If you look at yourself, you will see this. Sometimes you feel, you know, you say that I'm mood off. I'm not in the mood now to do something. Why do you say like that? Because at that time you are not in the sattvagunam. The mood has changed inside. And sometimes you feel very depressed and hopeless and feel like going to bed and sleeping. Why is it like that? Where does that come from? And sometimes you feel very active. You want to, you want to understand Krishna consciousness. Spiritually you feel more motivated. You want to chant. You want to... Where is this coming from? Why these thoughts are coming like this differently? Sometimes you want to do a lot of work. I want to go and conquer the world and do everything what is possible. so many plans coming up inside, one after the other, and want to do so many things in this world. So you can see within yourself, these different thoughts are coming at different times, and which you have no control. Where is it coming from then? That's what Krishna is explaining here. That the from the moment it starts, desire comes inside, and the way till it, that happens, it's all happening within this body, and the nature of the sattugunam is this, that sattugunam is nirmalatval, Krishna says. Tatra sattvam nirmalatval. Nirmalatval means that it's not causing any complications inside you, right? That means it does not complicate things. Very straightforward it is, right? And therefore, prakashanam, in other words, when sattugunam is present in a person, there is light inside. No darkness inside. Light inside. I don't mean this light. Light means that desire for knowledge and in a stable state, shanti, peace inside, right? So when you have that state inside, you will see things clearly. That means at that time when you get to hear about soul, antaryami, you will start accepting it. Otherwise, if you tell a person who is in tamogunam about antaryami, he won't be able to make head and tail of it. He says, what are you talking about? The scientists have told us that everything works. They will go after the science. Shastram is saying, only when sattugunam is present inside, when you talk to him about antaryami, it will make some sense to him. Presence of antaryami, right? So the benefit is that when sattugunam is present in someone, at least temporarily, when that sattugunam is present in him, at least at that time, he will be in a mood of meditation, dhyanam. It will be more inclined towards self-realization, knowledge, soul, and the control of how the soul controls the body, and finer things inside, he will become interested in that. That is due to sattugunam. Right? And that is why they say one should try to increase the sattugunam, abhivruddhi of sattugunam. Right? Then he says, so tatra sattvam nirmalatval. You see, he has connected both two things. Sattugunam and nirmalatvam goes together. That means you are pure inside. The heart is free from evil thoughts, wicked emotions and things like that. Ragadvesham is not there. Kamakrotham is not there. Overall, inside is pure to a large extent. When sattugunam is present, inside is pure. At that time, the knowledge will work. The knowledge of the soul, you will become attractive to you. You won't be attracted otherwise. For a hardcore materialist person who is very much in rajogunam and tamogunam, if you talk to him about the soul, it won't have any effect on him. It will not work for him. It is not impact on him, right? That is the reason they say that sattugunam one should develop. For this reason only. Prakashakam anamayam. And what is the main problem with the mind? Mind has got three things. Layam, vikshepam, kashayam. This is the three states of this mind. Yeah. These three problems of the mind, when they are not there, it is called anamayam. See that word? Prakashakam anamayam. Anamayam means these three problems of the mind doesn't exist. These are all in a very subtle level spoken. Probably if you look at yourself, you will see a glimpse of that. Within yourself you can see that. Yeah. So sattugunam, when you are in sattugunam, what happens is these three problems won't be there in the mind. Which are they? Layam, vikshepam, kashayam. These are the three states of the mind, right? So, one who is in sattugunam, the beauty of sattugunam is very alert, right? And you can say very vigilant mind it is, right? Just like small children, you will see how they do things, very focused on things, right? So, and if you are in that state, in a satsangam, what will happen is you will pick up the things just like cotton wool picks up water. With cotton you can take it water from the floor or from the table. With the cotton, if you wipe it, how it picks up all the water. Similarly, in satsangam, if the mind will absorb everything in the proper way, right? That is why they say you need sattva gunam, right? So how do you develop sattva gunam then? Bhakti, adhyalpa sadhana, with all that, if sattva gunam is built up, when sattva gunam increases, then when you sit in satsangam, just like cotton wool sucks the water from the floor or the ground, similarly, very good absorption. That means, whatever you hear, very quickly clarity comes inside, and it can lead into self-realization. So, good shravanam means good sattvagunam first. Right. Therefore, the sattvagunam is very important. And sattvam again is spoken to make us understand better. Shuddha sattvam, malina sattvam. Right? Shuddha sattvam means that what is responsible for self-realization. Right? And therefore, because it becomes the cause of self-realization, shuddha sattvam, it will give you a perception of everything outside in the world. When you see things, the impression that the object will create inside will be different. Like when you see, for example, when you see an object, if a desire comes inside to enjoy it, that's not sattvagunam. If you are able to see the object is going to give you trouble later by enjoying it, able to think like that, and able to deal with the object in that way, that's sattvagunam. So you can see the difference. When an object comes in front of us, say for example man-woman relationship, or for example the food in front of us, as soon as you see the food, immediately thought, this is what I wanted, first class prasadam, I love it, you say. What does that mean? The rajogunam inside is coming out and saying that that's there for me to enjoy. That enjoying propensity comes. Whereas if inside I thinking, will this prasadam, what I'm going to take, is it going to agitate my senses, or it's going to cause, what problems it's going to give me later on with that same prasadam? It is prasadam. If you think like that, able to think fineness, then that is sattvagunam. That comes from sattvagunam. Right. So, Shuddha sattvam will always make you think favorable for self-realization, to accept things favorable for self-realization. And so therefore, you see, when you are small children, if you observe them, you will see they have that nature, because they are not contaminated yet. When we have lived a long time in this world, what happens is we get continuously got used to this rajogunam and tamogunam. But in these smaller, when they are small children, they don't have that, right? when you look at the small children, if you look at them, they are happy always. They are happy to play, and they are not worrying about rest of the things in this world like we do. It's not bothering them, right? So they are all symptoms. That happiness, what they feel at that age in life, before they get complicated, it's all the symptoms of sattvagunam, right? That means whatever is spoken, able to absorb it inside. And this is the reason that why Bhagavadam is so subtle. You see, Sri Narada Maharshi understood this problem of importance of sattvagunam. He realized that the moment you come out of the womb and then you become victimized with the modes of nature, Knowledge of self will not go inside. Therefore, he kept on researching, to whom should I speak to? Finally, he understood that the one in the womb is most qualified to receive the knowledge of the self. And that is why Prahlada was chosen for that. Yeah. So, Prahlada realized the spiritual knowledge is not very complicated. But because of these three modes of nature, once you come out of the womb, you've fallen into the grips of Maya, Prakriti. You are in the hands of Prakriti then. But he realized that before the child comes out from the womb of the mother, the knowledge should be given. And that is why it worked for Prahlada. It didn't work for the mother Kayadhu. Kayadhu didn't get it. Prahlada got it. Just see how powerful that is. The modes of nature is. Because inside the womb, before he came out, before he got victimized by the Prakriti, the message was given to Prahlada, and Prahlada immediately, it impacted him, and he realized that it will not work. Narada Maharshi says that it will not work. He is doing experiment. To whom should I deliver this? Whom should I deliver? He tried many people. Prachetas he tried. Dhruva he tried. And many others also he tried. But he found out this theory finally, that before it falls into the grip of Prakriti. Dhruva, for example. Dhruva came out. Dhruva was 5-year-old when he realized, right? But by then you saw in Dhruva's nature how it was. He felt insulted. Is it not? He felt insulted by Suruchi. And he felt very strong about it. Such problem Prahlada didn't have. Dhruva had the problem. And that is why Dhruva had to perform penances 6 months. He had to perform penances, right? So, if it is like that, imagine this. If Prahlada and Dhruva had to go through this, people like us now, at the age of 70 and 80, how much will it go in? Think about that. How, that is why it is not going in, because of this only. That Prahlada captured it straight away, Dhruva took a little bit of time, but when you get older, it becomes more difficult. It is not easy. It becomes worse, right? So, because most of it is inside now, is tamogunam. Tamogunam is very strong, right? Just like you can see, some people come to hear Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, and they are saying that if I don't go for satsangam, I don't get sleep, they say. They don't get sleep, right? So, they have concluded that Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam is to get good sleep. They have come to that conclusion already, right? Because when you get there, you get sleep so quickly. Why is that? Tamogunam captures us straight away, right? And so, after a long time, by the end of our journey or life in this world, this body becomes completely under the control of tamogunam. Tamogunam takes control of us, right? Everybody falls into that, right? So therefore, one has to take advantage when one has sattvagunam, and at that time, whatever you get it, that's what you got in spiritual life. That's why if you are given, and this is why they are saying, kaumara acharet prajna. If you get it at that age, you got it. After that, forget about it. It's not going to happen. It's a big battle afterwards. Whatever you have got it at that age, earliest days in life, that's what will stay with him. The rest of it is all you can forget it. You'll hear, you'll go the other way. Whatever was spoken yesterday, today you won't remember. That's the situation. Yeah? So, and they give this example that your house has got on fire and you have decided, oh, I need some water to extinguish the fire. There is no point in going and digging a well at that time. It's too late, isn't it? So, similarly, before the body gets old, before the body gets sick, before the becomes helpless in this world, and very early in life, the spiritual life should be practiced. And that is what Prahlad's advice also. Kaumara acharet prajna. Kaumara acharet prajna, he is saying. He is selling his friends there, who are there, isn't it? Kaumara acharet prajna. Dharmam bhagavadaniha. Durlabham manushan janmyam tadapya dromarthadam. The first instruction from Prahlada to his friends. So, unfortunately, what happens in this world is that the if a child shows some taste for spiritual life, right, spiritual knowledge, spiritual realizations or bhakti, parents will say to them normally, oh, this is all for the old age, you have to do it. Not now, after retirement. After retirement, what happens? Daily appointment at the GP and the hospital and psychiatrist, that's the old age. Old age is that, making appointments, one after the other, and keeping a note of it, where you have to be, when. Right. So, and because we have become like that, when you advise children to take to spiritual, thinking that now they should study and acquire all the success in this world, if you go in that direction, then it is very, very difficult, right? And so, but if it's childhood, if that samskaram of spiritual culture, if it was given to him, if it was properly given to him, what will happen is, as he gets older, that taste for spiritual life will increase in due course of time, right? Whereas in childhood, if you have given all kinds of sense gratification to the child, as the child gets older, nothing will happen. The child will go in a different direction, right? Even if you want to introduce a child to something, it won't work. It won't have any effect, right? On the other hand, bhakti, Krishna is saying here that as he gets older, the desire will increase for spiritual path, for spiritual life, right? So, so that is what he is saying there. Bhakti becomes youthful at the old age then, right? Or the person becomes more fresh in spiritual life in the old age, right? Whereas otherwise what will happen in the old age is that if you are completely taken to sense enjoyment in life as a goal, then gradually the senses will become weaker and weaker day by day, and the body will also become very weak and won't have any taste for spiritual life. Any taste for spiritual life. And even if you want to eat something, you won't be able to eat because of the illnesses what has come from the body. And if you want to see something, the eyes won't work and can't hear things. So, so whatever may be happening to the body, the Atma, knowledge of the self, alone will become, you know, the awareness of the soul, Antaryami, spiritual life, self-realization. These thoughts will become stronger inside as we get older. That's a benefit. If it is given properly at the early age in life, at the old age, such thoughts will become stronger inside. Whereas if you are given sense gratification all along, at the old age, it is not possible to do anything about it. So, here, Sattugunam, what is its symptoms, he's saying here, right? Sattugunam's symptom is like this, that if Sattugunam increases in a person, he will be very focused on self-realization. He knows very well in his inside that everything in this world is not important. Self-realization is important. That kind of thoughts will come from inside. And therefore, bhakti will come, and at the same time, others won't understand certain things. For some people will ask this question, why do we need temples, right? And they will say, why do you worship this Swamiji or photograph, things like that. If a person is in a sattvagunam, right? If a person is in sattvagunam, listen to this. If a person is in sattvagunam, if anything related to soul and self-realization comes in the world, he will be attracted towards that. That's a symptom of sattvagunam. It presents there, anything in relationship with the soul, any symbol connected with the soul, that can be in the form of a photograph, Krishna's photos, Ramchandra's photos, doesn't matter, Shiva's photo, Jesus' photo, if we get a photograph of that, it creates a spiritual thought inside about them, right? And okay, in other people, like the moon, for example, right? Even if you don't believe in all those things, all these forms, if you don't believe in that, even when you see an ocean or a mountain, whichever giving you an impression of unlimitedness, right? Or even the holy name, when you hear from outside, immediately it will ignite inside some spiritual thoughts in a person. That's a symptom of sattvagunam, right? And it will come automatically, and that because inside him, that what you have put inside before, it is present there, what is called a smriti. That is what's called smriti, right? So, and that smriti, to wake up, all you require is something in the world outside to ignite it. That smriti inside, right? For example, there is a story of Nandanar. When far away from Chidambaram temple, when he looked at the towers of Chidambaram, he fell into ecstasy. He fell into ecstasy. Why is that? That spiritual desire inside was so strong. Nandanar came from a very lower section of the society. He had no entrance to the temples. In them days, it was like that, yeah? But because the consciousness was such that spiritually he was very strong inside, as soon as he saw the temple, Chidambaram temple, from a long distance, immediately he, inside that feeling, emotions came out very strongly inside, right? So similarly, anything what happens outside, immediately it wakes a spiritual thought inside, creates a spiritual feeling inside, right? And so this world also, creation also, is meant for creating these spiritual thoughts inside us. We mistakenly think the world is for our enjoyment, but actually the world is meant for creating some spiritual awareness inside us, right? So, and this will only happen when sattvagunam is present. You will start seeing hills, mountains, rivers, forests, ocean, everything, creating spiritual understanding inside. And that comes from sattvagunam, right? And when they see the moon, they describe the moon in sattvagunam in one way, that raga chandra samana vadanam. In other words, that when they describe the face, they talk about the beautiful face like the moon, they say. Yeah. Moga Kavi, who wrote Moga Panchashati, he talks about that, right? When he saw the moon, immediately he thought about Mother Parvati, Sri Parvati, right? Paurnami Day, in Lalita Sahasranamam, it says these words, Raga Chandra Samana Vadanam, that Devi, Shakti worshippers, who worship Shakti, Shaktayas they are called, they see the moon like this, at the beautiful face of the moon, as the face of the mother, face of the mother, right? So, suppose you are very hungry, and you are looking at the moon, what will come? think, oh, it's like a nice chapati or a nice papadam or something like that. Thoughts will come, right? So, like the way the Prakriti inside us shows us, that is how we will see things. That's the point, right? So this is all about Sattvagunam. Sattvagunam means that everything is centered around knowledge, spiritual knowledge, that too. Particularly towards realization, self-realization. The thoughts that comes also will reflect that. Now, leave that behind. If Rajogunam comes in, what happens? That's the next verse, right? Rajo ragalpagam vidhi, trishna sangasamulbhavam, tannibadhnadi kaundaya, karma sangene dekhinam. See the very clear difference between Sattvagunam and Rajogunam. When Sattvagunam comes, your thoughts, emotions, everything in one level. When Rajogunam comes, totally in a different level. What happens when it comes? When Rajogunam comes inside us, the first thought what will come inside, how can I use them? How can I utilize them? Right? What is the utility? That's what you will think. Whole science is on this principle. You see the difference? Adhyalpa chinda won't come through science. Why science is not bringing any spiritual thoughts inside? Why is that? Because of Rajogunam. Adhyalpa chinda won't come from science. Whole science is based on Rajogunam. Rajogunam does not create spiritual thoughts inside. So, what does science do? How can I utilize everything in the world for my happiness? Whether it is oil, whether it is gold, whether it is rare metals, uranium, whatever it is, how can I use it? These thoughts are coming from, remember this, Prakriti from inside is doing this in them. There's nothing you can do about it. The Prakriti is such that from inside, their thoughts are controlled by the Prakriti. Prakriti, based on the Rajogunam's influence, they can only think like that. Oil from the North Sea, oil from South Sea, oil from Karg Island, or here or there, wherever it is. Dig out all the oil so that we can use it. So, to utilize everything, how to utilize everything, that's Rajogunam. Rajogunam comes from that. When Rajogunam comes strongly, we want to exploit the nature as much as possible. We will never be satisfied. Krishna has put this oil all there. So many things Krishna has put it in this world. But you will never be satisfied. We will use all that, and after that what will you do? Then it is from this Rajogunam comes, this trip to Mars, trips to Moon, trips to everywhere. It's all that Rajogunam working from inside. As though you are here for 60, 70 years or 80 years, whatever it is. What do you want to go and do all these things in the Moon and the Mars and all that? We say we have to live there, find out whether water is there first, and then the air is there, and what rare metals are there, so we can bring that also. What kind of mind it is behind it working? That's Rajogunam. It's purely Rajogunam working like that, right? The whole science is working on this principle, right? Consumption. Consume, consume, consume. That's the only thing. How to use the sun and how to use the moon? Wherever possible, right? This is all Rajoguna Subhavam, right? Sattvagunam. Sattvagunam is like this. Whatever that is there, you will see it like that and satisfied with that. Don't want anything more than that. Get closer to it. Whereas Rajogunam will always look for how to utilize it. Things in the world, outside. That's come from Rajogunam. It's all very subtle things, but if you think about it, you can see. So, you go into a garden, right? And you saw the flowers there in the garden. And when you think about the flowers and look at the flowers and see Krishna's presence in those flowers, the beauty of the flower, that's bhakti, right? And not necessary that you have to pluck the flower and offer it to the deity. But just by seeing the flower and appreciating the beauty of the flower, Krishna's beauty coming through the flower, appreciating that, that is the symptom of Sattvagunam, right? So, and so that is because Sattvagunam is present inside. When you look into the world outside, you are looking differently than a person who is looking through Rajogunam. The one who is looking through Sattugunam, he will never think about disturbing the Prakriti. Prakriti is Krishna's Prakriti, it is. And you have no plans to disturb the Prakriti. You will just see the Prakriti and satisfied with that. That's all symptom of Sattugunam. Rajogunam means anything and everything in the Prakriti, how can I use it? This mentality, mindset, that is coming from science and that is Rajogunam. Right? So, when mind is in Rajogunam, it will never go inwards. Right? So, when the mind goes inwards, when our the nature, Andarmukhatvam comes, inward looking nature comes, you can see at that time that he will, this which will only happen in Sattugunam, and then you are looking inwards and you get to realize of your own existence, which is Satta Chitta Anandam, which is your very nature. And when you start making connection with there, you yourself are amazed by that, of your existence, right? And it is at that time you are get to know about the self, Antaryami inside, and you start want to understand this Antaryami inside and about the existence, you start questioning all that. That is all symptoms of Sattugunam. The mind turning inwards and inquiring about the truth, hearing about the Shastram and creating thoughts from inside, these are all symptoms of Sattugunam, right? So, whereas if a person is in Rajogunam, what will happen is, right, he will analyze the mind more. His attention won't go into the Antaryami, his attention will go into the mind. And he will make a big subject out of this thing called psychology. They'll make a big science out of it, right? Then he will use his intelligence as much as possible to analyze it. Mind and intelligence will come. And that's all symptoms of Rajogunam. Right? And then what else will he do? He will say, this is good, this is bad. All this is symptoms of Rajogunam. So you can see the difference, clear difference between Sattugunam and Rajogunam. Sattugunam turns the attention towards Antaryami. Rajogunam turns the attention towards the mind. When the attention goes into the mind, intelligence will come. And this mind and intelligence together will start analyzing everything. That's all part of Rajogunam. That is why Krishna said, Sattval Sanjayade Jnanam, Rajaso Lobhamayova. He said that Rajogunam means Lobham, greed. Krishna says, everything they want. Consumerism, this is all symptoms of that Rajogunam in the people. And therefore, Rajogunam and Sattugunam, they don't go very well together. So, Krishna says that the, what else happens? He will study psychology very seriously. Again, Rajogunam. It is studying this psychology. Krishna mentioned this mind, where it's coming from. Prakriti, it is coming from Prakriti. Prakriti's first manifestation is Prakriti. Is mind. So if you study the mind, you are studying the Prakriti basically. You are not studying the soul. Whereas only in Sattugunam, your attention will turn towards the soul, not towards the mind. If your attention is going towards the mind, means you are studying Prakriti, which means Rajogunam. People don't study these things seriously. That is why this is so subtle science it is. It's all happening inside, isn't it? Antaryami is inside, mind is inside. Krishna is saying, if your attention is going towards Antaryami, the soul, it is coming from Sattugunam. If your attention is going towards the mind and the thoughts centered around the intelligence, that's all Rajogunam. That's coming from Rajogunam. And then what happens? When the mind and intelligence works together, you will start analyzing it in this way. Good, bad, right, wrong. All these things are the product of this Rajogunam. Product of Rajogunam, right? Now, next thing, what will happen is, as soon as your attention has turned inwards, either it can go towards the soul or it can go towards the mind. Yeah. So if it has gone inside, as soon as you talk about inside thing, you fall asleep. That's tamogunam. Neither interested in the Antaryami nor interested in the mind, but simply falls asleep straight away. Sleep comes and takes over. That's tamogunam, right? So, these are the three, that is why these three things, Layam, Vikshevam and Kashayam. And these three problems with the mind, what comes? Happens in Rajogunam and Tamogunam. They affect that. Layam, Vikshepam, Kashayam. Kashayam comes from Tamogunam. Layam, Vikshepam comes from Rajogunam. Now, when all these three are not present inside us, that is when spiritual knowledge will get inside. Otherwise, it will not. In other words, there will be no impact inside if you have these three problems. Layam, Vikshepam, Kashayam. So, Layam means this Tamogunam. As soon as you hear, you get a good sleep. Go to sleep. That's Layam. Vikshepam means going into the mind and intelligence and and identification with the... Kashayam is the mood of state. Mood of state. So, these three things, as I mentioned before, that these three are the problems. Layam, Vikshepam, Kashayam. And all three of them will come in Rajogunam and Tamogunam. In Rajogunam and Tamogunam, right? The interesting thing is that when they are present, you'll be very thinking all the time about something, right? And you will be saying that this is right, this is wrong, this is good, this is bad in this way. But you'll be keep on thinking. And this all becomes very strong at the old age. This Rajogunam, Tamogunam becomes very strong at the old age. Yeah? That is why Acharya Swami said that, isn't it? Balastaval Krida Sakta, Tarunastaval Taruni Sakta, Vruddhastaval Chinda Sakta. Old people, if you observe them, they'll be sitting and thinking. Thinking about what? What are they thinking? Thinking about everything what happened in their life. Very seriously they are thinking what happened in their life. And analyzing it. This becomes their habit. Vruddhastaval Chindasakta, that happens to them, right? So, that is the problem with the mind, right? Or otherwise, they'll fall asleep. They are not thinking, they'll fall asleep. Either they're thinking or they're falling asleep, right? Mood off is that Kashayam says. They feel that, nothing there in this world, nothing is interesting, right? And can't think about chanting the holy name. No, no taste also. Right? So, if you tell them, come to the temple, we'll go to the temple, they will say, you go, I'll stay here. Right? Whatever you tell them, no taste. And meditation or satsangam, no mood off. No mood for anything. And that is Kashayam, Kashayam Siddhi. Right? The mind don't want to move anywhere and very obstinate nature and sits in one place, right? Layam sambodayet chittam. If mind becomes like that, yeah, when it becomes, takes an attitude like that, don't, no interest in anything else, right? Yoga, Ashtanga Yogam says, Yoga Margam they say, by some way or the other, you have to agitate their mind from that state, Kashaya Siddhi, yeah? If the mind becomes like that, dull and very depressed and not able to show any interest in anything and becomes very withdrawn from everything, something we have to do to get the mind working again, right? So you should not allow the mind to go into that state, right? Make it alert, right? Vikshiptam samaye punaha. Suppose there is a lot of chittavritti is coming, thought waves are coming. Even by chanting the holy name, or doing sankirtanam, or doing deity worship, according to their pragriti, whatever their nature is, through that, bring them back again from that Kashaya Siddhi. Kashaya Siddhi is a very depressed state. From that, it has to come back again. So, because if you are mood off, you can't do anything at that time. So, that is what Krishna is saying here. At least to bring them, wake them up from that state and vijaniya, able to observe things like a witness to that state. So, tamogunam in a person, when it comes out, that is when this Kashaya Siddhi comes to him. And at that time, At least he has to learn to become a witness to everything what is happening, right? And one thing you have to remember, that none of these three states will stay permanently in us. It will keep coming one after the other, right? Permanently, no state will stay in anybody, no modes of nature. So when Kashaya Sthiti comes, after some time, Chittavritti will come. Chittavritti will come. And afterwards, sometimes Satugunam will come after that, right? So what it is, what Krishna is saying here is that when Satugunam comes in us, you should take full advantage of it. Yeah? At that time, you should take to chanting, meditation, deity worship, whatever, studying, shastram, salsangam, everything you should take the maximum advantage when Satugunam comes in. So, how to utilize Satugunam? Because they keep coming one after the other. You can see yourself, if you look at yourself, you will see in your daily life, how the mood is changing inside you. Sattvam, Rajasa, Tamasa, right? So, and when Satugunam comes in, because it's so precious, right? At that time, Shastram, Jnana Vicharam, and if you leave that, Kashaya Sthiti will come, or Vikshiptam will come. And why do they all come? Why do they all come like that? Many people think like this. You know, sometimes people think that they can go into meditation whenever they want, right? And and they are thinking that these things are coming one after the other. Kashaya Sthiti, Laya Sthiti, Vikshiptam and all that. So they are thinking about this. How can I avoid that coming? People think like that, you know, when they want to do meditation, but they are not able to focus on it, things. So thought waves are coming very strongly. And then they are thinking, what can we do about that? Nothing can be done. Nothing can be done about that, right? And that Krishna is going to say later on, right? Because as long as you are within this prakriti, material modes of nature, if you are gone and try to do meditation, thoughts will come, right? And if you start thinking, sleep will come. And if the sleep comes off, your mood will go. Mood off, right? All these things are in the prakriti. Just like, say, when you are watching the TV, suppose I want to see only good things from the TV, it won't happen. In the meanwhile, advertisements will come. Every few minutes, something will come. And that won't be very nice to look at. You don't want to see it, but you have no choice. It is the same way. It is like that. So, people say, oh, I only watch the good things in the TV, they say. Only the good things in the TV, right? But you can't see TV with all the good things. It is created like that. In between every TV television program, there will be so many advertisements, and some of the advertisements are very gross, and when you see that, you wish you didn't see them. So, so in the middle of all that, all kinds of things comes, which is not good for children to watch, for the adults, but they will put some of the spiritual programs you have to see in India, and they will present the nice station. They give you a lot of information, knowledge about different spiritual programs, Bhagavad Gita and all that. In the middle of their programs, these kind of things comes in. And you start thinking, what sort of thinking is this? That the way you're talking something serious from Bhagavad Gita, in the middle of that, the advertisement for bikini and all kinds of holidays, programs in holiday places, how much you can enjoy, such things are shown in between of all that, right? So, yeah. So in the same way, you will see all those things also with the TV. Similarly, if you have a mind has got these three modes of nature, Satugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, right? And if so long as you have a mind, these three modes of nature will keep coming one after the other, right? And and temporarily you may be able to control your anger and everything. But some people, if you observe, by their very nature itself, they don't get angry easily, right? Similarly, some people can perform some siddhis, perfections in that, right? But mind, you cannot destroy by any of these things through knowledge. You have to destroy the mind. And the only one thing who can transcend, go beyond the mind, is the soul. Only soul can transcend the mind. Otherwise, if Atma is there, soul is there, then mind is not there. So similarly, self-realization is there, mind is not there. So till you realize the self, whatever you may do, and it is like giving a tonic to a demoniac person, asura. Asura is inside, who? This mind. You are giving tonic to him, and he will get stronger and stronger, right? And one day or the other, the mind will subdue you. You have to surrender to the mind, right? And these three gunam, Krishna is saying, is in the mind. Sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. So therefore, Krishna's advice is, when sattugunam comes in a person, it is very precious time, and that should be utilized for spiritual life. Other times, when rajogunam and tamogunam is there, you cannot do much about it. You are inside the prison of Prakriti. So that is where we will stop today. We'll continue next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada.